And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, June 16th, 2012. Season 6, Episode 9. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm Matt.
I'm Ajay.
I'm Jeremy.
It is right after E3, and we had a lot to talk about in this episode. First off, we jump into the news that happened just today, which was news of the Xbox, the successor to the Xbox 360, and what may come with that, with new consoles and that sort of thing, plus backwards compatibility gets thrown into that. Nintendo's Wii U advertising leads us into a long discussion about, well, the past, and games from 1995, 1996, and Sony getting in there, and all the console choices we had. E3 comments and coverage get taken over in the discussion as well, plus an M-rated Star Wars game and how that could be, how that could come about. Medal of Honor, Warfighter, and its realism versus its authenticity. Also, the quality of free-to-play games has increased in this year alone, and we discussed that. Plus, PlanetSide, speaking of free-to-play, is discussed about the ultimate MMO experience. And we also have Hitman Absolution talk from an email from you guys. Also, games that we're looking forward to coming up, and we close the discussion somewhat seriously over talk of Tomb Raider. But if you'd like to get in touch with us, please do. We'd love to hear from you. Everyone at ingamechat.net is our email. You can hit us up on Twitter at ingamechat. You can also go to the forums at colonyofgamers.com and talk to us there as well, plus many, many other ways to get in touch with us that you can find in those forums. We have a main post that says ways to get in touch with us. So there you go. That's it, and enjoy the show. That's too good.
We're the Wayne's World of podcasts. What was the thing I called us? Fuck me, I had like a really great analogy at one point about what we were.
No idea.
I told one of you people, but you've both got horrible memories.
I know that I do. Alright. Recording looks good for all this new shit we're doing. Webcam looks good. And we've got plenty of people in the chat room right now, so. Alright. God, it's been a few weeks here, and I've got plenty of tweets that we can start with. So we'll just get right into those and go through them. StarSteeler22 sends a tweet and says, "Did anybody else notice that in Batman Arkham City, Batman's right arm is massive compared to his left arm?"
What?
We didn't notice that. But I'm very interested.
Wait a minute, did we not notice that because it's not true?
Or I don't know. I need to go back and play it and see. But, I mean, you'd think something like that would kind of stick out if, you know, it's...
Is that maybe a perspective thing because...
One thing you it's see over his shoulder? Right.
Because, you only see that, or...
One thing I noticed is his right arm. I didn't pay attention to the left.
Isn't it kind of like over the right shoulder a little bit?
Yeah, it's...
I think it's pretty typical. Over his shoulder.
I gotta think I would have noticed that, I think. I think.
I'm wondering what version of Batman he's been playing.
I don't know. That seems awfully strange.
It is.
I've heard of big head mode, but big arm mode?
I'll have to look at it. I haven't played it in a while, but...
I haven't either.
I got the DLC for Harley, so I'll be seeing them when I start.
I was all gung-ho about going in there on every holiday and visiting Calendar Man, and then I think that stopped on New Year's or something. I don't remember.
Halloween.
I didn't make it very far with that. Gersnort writes in and says, "So, James, any fishbang tacos or anything of the sort lately?"
What was the last weird-ass thing I ate? I haven't made anything like that in kind of a long time. I'm getting sort of old. I have to be real careful about what I eat sometimes, or else I have, I'm getting sort of old.
I like that you said getting sort of old. Yeah. Getting sort of old. He's not sort of old, he's just getting sort of old.
See, really, that's a bullshit excuse, though. Because, like... A fishbang taco is not necessarily worse for you than 5 hot dogs, which is what I'll do sometimes. So,
Nabokov sends in a tweet and says, "Future Frostbite engine-based games will require 64-bit OSs. Let's hope for actual multi-threading," is what he says.
Is that for real?
He sends a link to it, yes.
So that's a hell of a thing.
It is.
I mean, I'm assuming that means they're 64-bit applications, and that there's not something I'm missing about whatever else about the engine would require a 64-bit OS if the application wasn't 64-bit, which really just means it's large address aware, which is fantastic.
Yeah, he's quoting a tweet from Johan Anderson, who says, "We'll have Frostbite-powered games in 2013 that will require a 64-bit OS. If you were on 32-bit, great opportunity to upgrade to Windows 8.
Who's not running a 64-bit Windows 7? Who plays games?
Kevin?
Is he not? I think he is.
Last I knew, he was still running XP.
I don't think he is anymore. Okay. But my point wasn't who's not running 64-bit OS. My point is who's not running 64-bit 7, because his suggestion was this is a perfect opportunity to upgrade to Windows 8. Yeah. No, it isn't. Nope. It's a perfect opportunity to upgrade to Windows 7.
Yeah, I'm running 32, but I'm not heavy into PC gaming, so there's no real need for me to do that.
That was my other qualifier.
So for gamers, for PC gamers,
it's just really common. Mm-hmm. It's not 100%, but it's extremely common. Mm-hmm. And the uptake on 64-bit applications is just... It's as if nobody cares. It's as if there really isn't any benefit whatsoever to running something that can comprehend more than 4 gigs of space. That's just a little odd to me. I would have thought that the whole PC gaming industry would have wanted to move quicker into that space. But it's another thing to blame on the consoles, I guess.
Yes, it is. Missing more uptake of that now with the new consoles on the distant horizon. Mm-hmm.
Or not so distant, really.
If you count the Wii U,
Even counting the others. 2013's not that far away.
Yeah, there's more and more talks about it.
It's a year. That's honestly not very distant when you're talking about this sort of stuff. To me, it feels awfully close.
I wasn't really expecting Sony or Microsoft to come out with anything till 14.
No, it'll be 13. They'll do 13. So? Yes, I do. Absolutely.
Late 13?
Well, Christmas is usually in the late part of a year, so... Mm. And they really like to launch their consoles at that time of the year around here. The rumors are coming faster now.
Yeah.
All the time. Instead of once every few months, now it's once every month or once every few weeks. We're seeing more and more rumors about leaked hardware specs or some design document for what they want the next consoles to be. And 2013's rattling around an awful lot.
Okay.
I think this year would have been a shockingly early announcement about hardware, but I don't know. I'm wondering if maybe they won't announce it in E3. Is it they'll announce the hardware at some other time and then follow some other path? I think 14's maybe a little bit too late. I could be wrong. I don't know. But 13 doesn't seem like that far away to me. And it also doesn't seem like that impossible. 14 seems a little too long.
That's the general expectancy everybody had at E3, was that next year was going to be the console reveals. And that if you didn't do it next year, you were missing a huge opportunity, or that you were... I don't know. The overall sense was that it's time. Hmm. It's time for the new ones.
And it's a strong feeling.
Yeah, it is.
You can make arguments either way about the business, about what would be better, save your money and just keep what you have, but there's just a feeling that next year would be the right time for the other two. So, I think Christmas of next year. And if some of the rumors are true, which there's no way they can be, but you've heard the most recent one. For today? Yeah, for today.
Yeah.
The $300 Xbox?
Yes, yeah.
What is that rumor?
There's a lot in it that, I mean, I don't know, and I don't have the hardware specs at hand, but...
It was 4 gigs DDR RAM.
Yeah.
So how many processors?
Three.
Three processors.
Yeah.
I don't think it mentioned anything about a graphics chipset or anything like that. Or did it?
It did. I don't think it said anything specific. Yeah. I honestly don't remember. I looked at the sheet really quickly earlier today. But they're claiming backward compatibility all the way
to original.
I believe that's what they're saying. Well, backward compatibility all the way back, which is going to require the same thing that the PlayStation did, which is including actual hardware.
Yeah.
Hardware backward compatibility.
That's what jacked up the price of the
PS3. That's one of the things that jacked up the price of the PS3.
Though the PS3 was very different architecturally from the PS2. Everything we've heard coming out of the next-gen Xbox rumor mill says that architecturally it's going to be extremely similar to the 360.
So that might make it easier to...
But today's leak still mentions specific inclusions for backward compatibility.
Yeah.
It wasn't just native... It wasn't backward compatibility as a circumstance of the system's design. It was intentional and it was inclusive. So... Yeah. I don't know. I won't argue the specs one way or the other. I just know that's what I read today. And that's a big sticking point for people who say, well, everything in this document cannot be true.
Yeah.
There's no way they match all of these specs and deliver the system for $300. It's unlikely. It's also... I believe shipping with the next evolution of Kinect.
Yeah, Kinect V2 is what it's called.
That's cheaper than some of the Xboxes on the market now.
I know. They're not wrong wanting to... Assuming they really are targeting $300, they're not wrong. They may have actually figured out what it takes to get shit tons of consoles in homes. They may have done the math on taking a loss.
Yeah.
But... At a certain point, there's only so much that you can include and still...
Not take a sizable hit.
And just hurt yourself really, really bad. So, I don't know. But that's what I was referencing when I was suggesting that the rumors were coming faster and, frequently now.
I wonder if you heard anything about the Wii U's backwards compatibility. I'm assuming it'll be Wii backwards, but is it going to go back to GameCube also? Like how the Wii can play GameCube games?
Was that spoken of at all at the conference?
No. They didn't talk about anything.
They didn't talk about PC at all.
Yeah.
That I saw. Well, of course, we missed a good bit of the press conference.
Well, we did, but I don't remember anything coming out over the course of the week.
I haven't heard anything about it, so I don't know.
Because I saw a good sizable GameCube collection. I mean... I still, don't like enjoy playing Wind Waker. I mean, Wind Walker, whatever. Wind Waker, that's it. The Zelda.
I don't think that's particularly important.
Yeah.
I really don't. And I don't even think that the actual games, disc-based games being backward compatible on the systems is as big a deal as it was a few years ago. I think the thing almost everybody is concerned
digital
about
backwards.
Is their digital goods.
Yeah.
That's the real problem. The rest of it doesn't seem as big a deal. There are people who care, and that's fine, and I think attending to their concerns is pretty cool.
But worst case scenario, you could always just go on the cheap, find a GameCube, or find, you can find those old systems, easily.
Matt, that's been that's been the reality for years. Nobody has given a shit about the GameCube outside of a curiosity or a novelty for a while. It's great, and it was a good system, and it had some excellent games, but it's not... You can't take it seriously as a part of any modern backwards compatibility discussion. And I think you could really abandon the games and just deal with the people who are angry about that. But your digital purchases are all tied to your online account. And we know that the online account is going to be... That's at the heart of what they are right now, Maybe your PlayStation can be a little bit of something without your PSN account, but your Xbox can't be.
No.
Not really.
Mm-mm.
So... Yeah, I fully expect whatever we have right now to sort of morph and evolve and grow to fill the space of whatever the next Xbox is going to be. And it'll be in some way the same thing. You know, I want to suck all of my stuff over to the new home. And if that stuff doesn't work, then their sales pitch doesn't work.
BK Smith says, love the Max Payne 3 talk. It may help to turn off the auto or soft aim. Free aim is better. The story is off, but the multiplayer is fun.
I played with the different aiming modes on the console, and I couldn't get happy with it. The one that you and I think both wound up using was the only one that I was comfortable with.
Basically, the default setting.
Yeah, the snap too.
Yeah.
Was that the default? I think it was the default aim. That is the soft aim.
Soft aim is the default, I believe.
I thought the default was a little more. I thought there was some other element about the auto aim that I turned off that I didn't want. I don't really remember. The only thing I used was the snap because I thought I had trouble with the free aim. I'll just put it that way.
Free aim to me felt like this would have been better with the mouse, so.
Which is what I still think.
So I went to the soft aim because I can pop up out of cover and get somewhere close to where I wanted to shoot at, and I could just make the adjustments on the fly as needed. But that wasn't going to happen with free aim.
It didn't feel good. It was all right, you know? Mm-hmm. It was all right. It made it fairly easy to get headshots because you could just snap to and then sort of flick the stick up a little bit.
Because it always went center mass and then went up. Yeah.
It's a little. It only released on PC. What?
The 29th?
3 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago. No. I don't know. The 29th of May, I think. Mm-hmm. Or the 1st of June, I think is what it was. Wasn't it? It was Friday, the 1st of June. Something
that
like
doesn't
that.
Do us any favors, though, because on the inside, I was hoping to see it on the. Imminent Steam sale for the summer, but I think it's unlikely we'll see a deep discount on it this soon.
I had a question about multiplayer Max game because, well, like I said earlier, I didn't get Max Payne for multiplayer, so I didn't do it, but how did bullet time work for multiplayer folks?
I have no idea.
Because if one person goes, how's the other person going to react?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I never played the multiplayer on that game.
Yeah, so.
And I never bothered looking up the videos either.
Yeah.
I was sort of exhausted, tired of the game by the time I beat it, and I had intended to go through the multiplayer, but I didn't.
For me, it's like one of those games, like you want to play through it, beat it once, and that's pretty much it. You're done.
That is pretty much it, yeah. And I was done.
Gersnort says, is it me, or does Nintendo's Wii U marketing push look a lot like the Play It Loud initiative from the 90s?
I don't remember that initiative.
No.
I don't either. He sent a link to a video, but it was for the Wii U, so I still didn't have any kind of comparison to the Play It Loud thing. Very cheesy was the video that he sent of somebody playing Zombie U. It was a very cheesy video. It was sort of, whatever, Joe Every Gamer, you know, that guy.
The guy who holds his controller upside down.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, he was playing on the Wii U against Zombie U, and he was very narrative of his actions, of what he was trying to do, and that he was losing and whatever. And then he posted a note to the community thing through the Wii U, seeing if anybody else could fix his problems, that sort of thing. It was very let's use the language of this, you know, of this demographic, and let's get everything. It seemed like somebody completely out of touch trying to make something that would be in touch to that demographic and to that group that they were aiming for. Like, they were trying too hard. And I don't know, maybe that's what the Play Loud thing was. I do not remember that kind of campaign. But I don't... you could say that maybe their... Whatever their marketing push is, it seems very... It seems like it's missing me. But, you know, I'm just speaking for myself on that. But none of that has really caught on for me as far as some of their marketing. Or at least that video that he sent me a link to was...
I found a couple commercials if you want to follow them. I can see what it is.
For the Play It Loud thing? Mm-hmm. There it is. Okay. So we stopped the show for a minute and watched some of those Play It Loud commercials from whatever, the SNES days, I guess it was.
90s?
It looks, well, the 90s were SNES and 64.
Yeah.
But that looked like SNES because that looked like a Sega commercial, which was
their only competition in that era.
Again, depends on where you were in the 90s.
Yeah.
If you were in 91, yes, it was the Sega. If you were in 95, it was shit, everybody. Who didn't have a... I think I released a console in 95. Right? Because didn't every... I mean, everyone did. Yeah. There were a ton of... there was actually a really, really interesting time.
Yes, it was.
In retrospect, mm-hmm. there weren't just like... There were just a couple of big guys, but everyone, nobody knew who was going to win. And I remember having friends who...
TurboGrafx, 3DO, that was what?
CDI?
Well, yeah. Well, 3DO was... God, they had... I can't remember who was backing them at the time.
Philips, wasn't it?
Or was it Philips?
Maybe Philips, it was Philips did the CDI, right? Oh,
Philips did the CDI. Panasonic, I thought, was doing the 3DO.
Yeah. But there was also, like, one manufactured by a company called Gold Star, I believe.
There was the Jaguar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember looking at all this shit, and I remember, of all the physical designs for these systems, the PlayStation one looked the most like a toy. I remember making fun of it.
Yeah.
And how ridiculous it looked. And
was the Lynx then, too?
The Lynx? The Lynx was a little bit earlier.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that one that
had
the controller with the keypad on it?
That was the Jaguar.
Jaguar, okay.
Yeah.
I think the Jaguar or anything that came out at the same time as, or right after the Atari did. Hmm. ColecoVision had one.
Regardless, there was a lot of consoles that were released during that period.
So. It was actually really good to not have enough money to buy a console in 95.
Yeah.
because I had friends who... It wasn't that everybody just went out and bought a PlayStation in 95.
Right.
Everyone went out and bought a PlayStation in 96.
Yeah.
Or as late as 97. But in 95, if you were an adult, you had friends who were... No, I'm putting my money on this, or I'm backing this horse, or I'm going in for this.
Most people were, like, jumping on the, like, Sega Saturn.
Yeah.
Mm. That seemed the way to go at the time, mm-hmm. really.
It actually did seem like a really good way to go, because...
I knew people who got 3DOs, and at least one asshole that got a Jaguar.
I knew one of each.
Yeah.
And the Saturn did look like a really safe bet, because... The Genesis wasn't my machine in the previous generation. Right. I was a SNES man, but there was no successor.
Mm-hmm.
There was no immediate, obvious successor to the... Like, I wasn't getting what I wanted out of the... Looking down the road to their next thing. So it's like, well, Saturn looks like squared away.
Uh-huh.
That looks like a really... That looks like what a console should look like. And the PlayStation looks like a thing with a power cord and two controllers. Like, it didn't do what so many other people had done, which is your first iteration of your console hardware is extremely complicated,
mm-hmm.
has lots and lots of I.O., lots of features and options. The Saturn sure as hell did.
Yeah.
All of the other competitor consoles did. The PlayStation was very simple.
Yeah. Well, the first thing that grabbed my attention on the PlayStation was when they released... Mortal Kombat 3 or Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 on it. Because at the time, like, it only came out for three systems. Like, it came out for Genesis, Super Nintendo, and PlayStation. And, like, of the three versions, clearly the one on the PlayStation was the closest to the arcade. And so I remember going and trying to rent a PlayStation to play it.
Hmm.
And I couldn't because I, like, didn't have a...
Didn't have a credit card?
Didn't have a credit card. That's what it was.
Well, like, I mean, the Nintendo and, you know, the Saturn and all those other ones, they had, like, a lot of them had the I.O. ports on the bottom that you know, for supposedly, you know, connectivity to other things that mm-hmm. most of the time never came through. All the PlayStation originally had was just that one in the back. That, you know, yeah. We put in the that little
the Game Shark
stuff or whatever.
I forgot about that guy.
To play the you know, the import.
Yep.
But I mean, it didn't even have, like, you know, I remember looking at the bottom of my Super Nintendo, even all the way up to the GameCube, where they had all the little things that you could take out.
And ports,
yeah. Yeah, didn't use a single one.
I remember that was actually a really serious issue in 95, is which console provides the most faithful arcade port?
Yes.
Yes. For a lot of games. Now, anymore, what the fuck is an arcade?
You're right.
Honestly. But yeah. I mean, you ought to know this perfectly well, that there were a lot of people who went Saturn for very specific reasons.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The Street Fighters.
And it had a lot to do with the with its ability to use the extra little extra RAM cartridge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For some imports, I couldn't play unless I had that RAM card put in there.
Yeah.
What a damn strange time.
Yeah. Well, I remember the thing that made me get a PlayStation was the release of Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
You know.
Somebody mentioned that in the chat room and said that's when PlayStation exploded.
I was off in Atlanta. I had just, you know, gone off to college, and I was working at CompUSA. So I'd been there for like a little bit.
97, Mr. Bennett.
Because I started working at this other place, and I remember the Nintendo 64 coming out there, and like a couple of guys I worked with going nuts and grabbing that, and I looked at it and I was like, no. I don't see it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not jumping on that. And then, yeah, when FF7 came out, I was working at a different place, and fortunately somebody else that worked with me was like looking to unload his. He needed some money, so I was like, "Well, how much?" And he's like, "How about this? Yes, here." I grabbed it, bought a copy of 7, and took it home. And
I remember, do you know, for those 2 years. Because it was 97 before Final Fantasy VII came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, this is a little bit strange, but that's one of those games. FF7 is one of those games that I can remember where I was the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
I remember walking past the software, etc., and it was playing in the window on a TV. They were playing preview because it was still months away. But I looked at it, I was like, yeah. Yeah, this thing, whatever the hell is going on here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And whoever I was with was like, you bet.
And do you remember how in the early days of the PlayStation, they had a policy of not allowing like 2D games or RPGs to come out on
that it? That was, yeah.
The other day, I was looking that up, and did you realize that was Bernie Stolar of Sega Dreamcast?
No.
Fame.
Who made the decision?
Who made that decision, yes. No. Oh. He was working for Sony at the time. And for Sony.
Well, they were trying to market and leverage their strengths, mm-hmm. such as they were at the time. And the previous generation had been, what are you going to do? Are you going to have your PlayStation and somehow do a better job at 2D than the SNES had done?
No.
You really weren't.
Yeah. Just get rid of sprites altogether, go to polygons. And,
yeah.
You know.
But yeah, that 2 years... I remember specifically there was an industry-wide, media-wide, particularly media-wide, this is what you would, you know, you would pick up a gaming magazine back in 96, and all any of the authors of any of the articles could do was, regarding the PlayStation, was bitch about how there were no RPGs, that Sony has completely screwed up, that this is going to be a system with no RPGs on it.
Yeah.
That for 2 years, the PlayStation, of all things, and I know you, Scott, didn't. You were not doing consoles at that time. But it's absurd to think that for a significant period of time, the PlayStation was considered...
What the Wii is today or something?
No, like, it was just that it didn't have any software.
Yeah.
Which is absurd, because by the end of its life, it had
everything.
700-800 titles available in the US, and it was considered, above all things, an RPG system.
It was really funny to me that this guy, who made dreadful system-killing decisions for the Dreamcast,
he drove
EA away as a publisher for the Dreamcast, engaged in all sorts of PR that turned really ugly. And I didn't realize this until just the other day, but he priced it at $200 in the U.S., going behind his Japanese boss's back, who insisted it be
$250. Hmm.
But
all that he was responsible for was for someone else.
Yeah.
Lavos says he remembers that because Square was a Nintendo third party.
Yeah,
they were.
Yeah,
and the entire reason that they were nothing but Nintendo.
Yeah,
and Sony said, "Notice you're getting a raw deal over there with Nintendo. We were getting a raw deal with Nintendo.
Yeah,
you want to do something that's not on a cart, and yeah. you could actually make something.
You want to work on a good system with a bunch of people who know what you're worth. Come do this. Mm-hmm. And Seven was the first time it happened. The only RPG that existed on the console, I believe, before 7, in the States at least, was Wild Arms.
Yes.
Remember that?
Wild Arms was the first
Wild Arms sold like hotcakes because it was just, it was something. It was anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was some kind of JRPG at a time when everyone played them. To say, yeah. I have a console. Well, of course I play JRPGs. Why else would you have a console?
Yeah. After 7, the next time that they released an original Final Fantasy or whatever, Square on Nintendo was what, Crystal Chronicles?
I think so. It was a very long time before they went back.
GameCube, yeah.
It was a really, really long time.
So for the longest time, you always associated Square with PlayStation.
Yeah, and not only that, they broke out of their mold a little bit on the PlayStation. They spent a wonderful few years, particularly on the PS1, experimenting in every direction they could.
Mm-hmm.
Square actually had a very oddball catalog.
Bushido Blade.
Mm-hmm.
Air Guys. Einhander
was really, really, yes, really great. Brave Fencer Musashi.
Parasite Eve.
Vagrant Story.
Vagrant Story was
God,
there was a lot good. Of really...
That was their just fucking golden era.
It really was their golden era.
Threads of Fate.
Yeah.
That's from Lavos.
That's right. I don't remember that one.
They did an enormous amount of work. Not all of it perfect, but mm-hmm. they got a lot of shit done back then.
I mean, how much of your old PlayStation library is white?
Yeah.
From Squaresoft. Right. You're like, let's do white, that's all it was.
Chocobo Racing.
Tactics.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God damn it. Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah.
Not only did I really, really enjoy playing that game and having like a really nice deep story, I also really enjoyed watching James destroy controllers.
Yeah.
Being so pissed that off at another loss.
The game was not for me. So was...
I like how Lavo says Tactus is the greatest game, and then Daniel Out says ever.
It was a really... I hated that game for not liking me.
it
really didn't like me at all. The game hated me. And it was beautiful, and I adored the world. I loved the fiction.
The story.
And it was everything about it, art from the art to the really... because I had already played Tactics Ogre.
Yeah.
And it was at the time previous that where I had done some of the fantasy tactics kind of things, and I really liked them. I wasn't great at them, but I thought that Tactics Ogre, for an example, was maybe a bit too broad, a little bit too obscure in certain ways. It was too much. The grid was too big. Tactics did something that I really began to appreciate in design. It narrowed and it focused, it edited, and it concentrated a little bit better. But it hated me so much. The game liked him fine. It didn't like me at all, and I really wanted it to like me.
The game was like, hey, James, you're going to spend an hour and a half on this fight, and in the very last bit, guess what?
Yeah.
You're dead.
Yeah.
I remember this one fight, watching him do it over and over again, and every time you would start, like, I remember there was like a big wall, and you had like one guy on one side of the wall, and the other guys like had to get in.
Yeah.
And like, every time, like right at the beginning, one of the bad guys would come up and like hit your guy with a sword and break his helmet.
Yeah, he would do an armor break on me.
Yeah.
All the time. And ultimately, I think the only way I made it out of that was I played it about half a dozen times and did a weapon break on the enemy, and that was the only reason I managed to get it. It was the lieutenant or the boss of that level or something. It's been years. And like every other game that I have ever not finished, I kid you not, every game that I've ever not finished, I know exactly where I am. In the catalog of my memory, I know. And I... affixed to that memory is my emotional state. And I know where I was and how I felt. And I can reach back and sort of I can address that very bad emotion from that place in that game, and I really really wanted it to like me, because I really wanted to like it, and it was that didn't happen. Now, am I you saying that I forgot about that completely, but how long was it before they were allowing 2D stuff again? Was it Castlevania? Was it that long?
I don't know. Castlevania and Mega Man 8 were both kind of kicking around at the same time. I think Mega Man 8 may have come out before. It may have been one of the few exceptions they made because it was Capcom and it was Mega Man.
Right.
Like a, you know, at the time, super, super well-known established line. Like it's Mega Man up there with Mario and Link and... Mm-hmm. And Samus and all the classic characters. Maybe one of the only reasons Mega Man was allowed to come out.
Right.
But there wasn't much in the way of 2D going on.
Symphony of the Night had to be 97, right? Is that correct?
I think you're right.
And I remember it being
I remember having it on our shelves in 97.
Yeah. It was a huge deal.
Mega Man 8 released December 17th, 96.
Okay, so that I'm pretty sure that Soden was 97. Maybe spring?
He's looking it up.
So those would have been, I guess...
Contemporaries.
Yeah, basically contemporaries, given how things worked at the time.
Yeah.
And I'd never cared for Mega Man, so it didn't matter to me, but Symphony of the Night mattered a great deal.
Yeah. October 2nd, 97. So
okay, yeah. So not quite a year later. I guess later than I remember it.
That's odd. Lava's found March 20th, 97 for Symphony. I wonder if that was a Japan release.
Japan.
That was a Japan release.
And PAL is November 1st, but yes.
Hmm.
Saturn was the next year in June. So Saturn had to wait a whole
What is odd, I know that we have people listening who weren't buying their own consoles and who weren't probably even walking upright too well in the middle of the 90s. But I'm telling you, it was a very... At the time, it just seemed...
It was exciting.
It was very exciting and very interesting. So for everything to have contracted the way it has now is a little... It's actually a little sad sometimes, because that's what we had then. We had just a lot of dudes duking it out, man. And you had people who were very conservative in their design, and that was their console. And then you had guys who were really, really aggressive and really understood who they were talking to. And I think Sony really did. I think Sony knew.
Also the same era of the Virtual Boy, too. It came out like... Again, 97, 98.
The thing about the Virtual Boy is it was actually really cool.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I'd never buy one, but it was really neat.
Well, this is what, nostalgia moment.
I have a question.
What
the fuck were we talking about?
I have to go back and find my tweet.
I honestly don't remember. So I'm sure we were talking about...
We were talking about... No, Gershort sent us a tweet if the Wii U's marketing was like Play It Loud.
Yeah.
And that's how it got to where it is.
I don't know. Although, all I can think of now is that the Play It Loud campaign reminds me of You Are Not Ready.
Yeah.
You're Not Ready.
Yeah. What's her note mean? No, that's You Are Not Ready.
Ready. You're not ready. Oh. And because you can't decipher that, they're right.
That one, and what was my other favorite PlayStation promotional campaign at the time? Something Lives. Oh, Enos Lives. It was E in brackets, and then N-O-S.
Yeah.
It was Sony spelled backwards, but the E was,
right.
I guess, supposed to be phonetic. Enos Lives.
I also remember... And again, this is something that doesn't work quite the same way anymore, that there was a period of time, again, during the mid to late 90s, where it was fascinating that Sony had the best commercials on television.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the least bad commercials of all of the console makers, but they had the most interesting television
The guy in the Crash Bandicoot commercial.
That is really...
Going out and...
Before you even brought that up, uh-huh. they had started going into
of
that.
Of course, because everybody.
The chat room was like,
around, you know, like
the chat room was talking about 90s nostalgia, and Lavos was like, "Crash Bandicoot with a megaphone."
Yeah, staying outside Nintendo,
mustache man.
Yeah, exactly.
But all of them, for every game, any commercial commissioned through Sony or that ran through Sony and some, they were just better than any product being sold on television anywhere. They were the most clever, most aggressive advertisements anywhere. There's,
do they do console commercials anymore, really?
Matt, I don't watch commercials.
Yeah, true.
I don't watch television. How the hell am I supposed to know? I turn off the banner ads on websites that, like, I'm rarely exposed to them, so I couldn't tell you.
Last one I really remember is Kevin Butler. The Sony guy.
And those were cute. But I think...
But, I mean, that was, what, a year or so ago?
Yeah.
So I don't even remember.
Well, anytime they make a price drop, they'll advertise that, but, you know.
But now it's mostly, like, the video games themselves have the commercials. You know, right. There's the commercial for, you know, the new whatever, you know, Gears of War, you know. Mm-hmm. But the actual consoles themselves, I don't remember, like...
Well, we are consoles a long time into the lifespan of this generation. There's... Mm-hmm.
They don't need as much advertisement anymore. And there are other places for them to advertise.
So for price drops and for peripherals, like the Move got some advertisements and the Kinect got some advertisements with the systems themselves.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen anything for, like, the Vita.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It only does everything is the last thing I remember.
Well, also the other problem is that we've gotten away from, I mean, back then, we didn't have fast-forwards, TiVos, and everything else that kept us away from commercials.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why they moved that's why they moved to other things.
Yeah, exactly.
Really sort of... anyway, that was good. See what happens? This happens.
This is why you're showing.
See, we get back on track now.
3.5 hours. I'm going to go through a bunch of these tweets from Nab, who sent us basically a stream of consciousness tweets here.
This was his E3 stuff.
This was his E3 stuff. Right,
which I was watching, by the way, just so he knows. Wasn't replying, but I was watching.
So we're going to go through these, and then we'll stop. This is all from Nabokov. Microsoft big news was using your phone music deals and moving shit that was perfect before to other shit because MS is better? ? My takeaway, especially for future Windows, Xbox, is that you need shit to all come from the same device or from the devices talking to others on many screens. Then we jump a few hours ahead. Ubi, holy shit, Watch Dogs looks interesting. I was waiting for David Cage to walk out. Looks like something he would do. On top of all that, the annoying host-co-host banter... just flat-out offensive hosting comments, jokes. Best way to describe E3 is someone twiddling their mustache, pondering the future of games. It's the first time all year the press actually bullshit having an imagination, and when the passion for games is let out by true gamers wishing for the things we actually want. Somehow, we get these one or two games, ideas, or things we didn't even know we already were in love with. I sat on the edge of my seat for 4 hours, even for Microsoft and EA, just waiting for some new ideas. I don't even have a console. Maybe for RJ, did you see the Madden E3 Ray Lewis intro? It sums up the passion sports fans have for those shit games. I know sports games get laughed at, and many say they don't belong in games, but I hope someone gets the passion we all have. Contrasting your guys' opinions on Max Payne 3 with the press, they feel... Oh, well, okay. So that's a completely different tweet about Max Payne 3. But yeah, those were his thoughts for the E3 press stuff.
Now, just... Well, you and I said a lot in the show that I just posted about how... One of the things I really tried to do when I was editing that, and I know Scott and I tried to do it when we were talking about it, and it's difficult to adjust your tone on the fly. We weren't really so much wanting to shit on journalism like we seem to do all the time, but it became very hard to take it seriously at E3. As if... There was simply nothing to love out of E3. Because all anybody seemed to want to do was talk about the worst parts of it. And there was plenty. There was an awful lot. But all of the stream coverage and all of the web coverage seemed to be about the things that people would then spend so much time saying was shit. When I had a dude right here, sitting next to me, who went out and walked around on the show floor and found no end of things to be really, really happy about. Things that he really liked. And had to put a bunch of things on the back burner or dismiss them entirely that he would have probably been happy to see because he was too busy seeing things that were truly worth his time.
To see, yeah.
I know a lot of it's the show. I know a lot of it's the money that governs the organization. But I don't know how else to say it. It's a lot of what sucks because of how it's covered.
Yeah.
And there's simply no way to get around that because it's there. There are things to do and see on the floor that are more worth your time.
If all you ever do is write about how bad the show is, then that's, I don't know. The
show's just going to be bad.
Nobody's ever going to take away anything from it.
But the show, but to say that the show is bad isn't even entirely true.
It's but
your perception of it will, you know,
It just sounds to people, there was a narrative that was sort of crafted and echoed around for the whole week, and then for days and days and days after, and it was just
it was
just so sour, you know. Mm-hmm. And I can be pretty sour and critical. I know we do that a lot, but you know, I really like games, and there were actually things there. Mm-hmm. There really were. The press conferences weren't in it. That stuff was mostly kind of shit. So I don't know what to say about that. One way or the other. I didn't really have a problem with the Ubi press conference, to be honest with you. I like Aisha Tyler a lot. She is a filthy-minded, dirty-mouth, really funny girl. And I really like her because she's completely irreverent and disgusting and, to me, funny.
Name sounds familiar. I'm trying to place it.
She used to be on The Soup. She preceded Joel McHale.
Okay.
She's a stand-up comic. She does a lot of that stuff. She's kind of a... modern...
You ever see Boondocks?
No.
No? Okay. She does,
have you ever
she
seen Archer?
She does a lot of voice acting.
She does a lot of voice acting.
Okay.
She's Lana and Archer. That's
familiar. And I'm sure, like, once I saw it, yeah. But, okay.
Yeah, she's done things. Yeah. I like...
You're familiar with the word. Yeah, she's a... She's not. She has a lot of top. She's
I know that she. I know that she. I think some of the stuff that was in their press conference was a little weird because it was like her and what's his name guy. I don't know. I thought that felt a little forced. I feel like maybe she'd been by herself, just telling her own dirty jokes.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed watching the crowd be very uncomfortable.
Tell you what, look her up on Netflix. I think she's got something on. She's got some stuff on.
She does. She has one of her stand-up routines is on Netflix. And you look exciting. Watch Archer.
Yeah.
But, anyway, I thought that was fine. I thought she was fine. And overall, Ubi's conference was okay. Mm-hmm. Still don't know how I felt about titties and mushrooms. I mean, in the world, I'm very happy about both of those things. I'm very pro those things. I thought that it was like, I'm fine. I don't care one way or the other. But when I see what they're doing, my initial thought was, a bunch of people are going to feel real weird about what you're doing. They're weirded out now. Your ability to sell them your game just went away because they're weirded out. I can promise you. All them English fellas. They're blushing real hard right now, I'm pretty sure. Plus, your action scenes were pretty crap, and you didn't show me the one thing I wanted to see, which was your great, awesome island in Far Cry, whatever. Overall, I thought their thing was at least fun. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because that's the one that was on when I got home and started drinking. I don't know.
No, because...
Because it was the first one that was any fun.
It was the first one that was any fun.
And I thought, you know, I thought for a minute EA's was actually going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Because when they came out, I liked that they were... They were like, hey, we're going to tell you, we got 10 things. We got, like, what, an hour?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to show you 10 things. Or an hour and a half, I guess it was. And I was like, okay, so you have, like, a plan, and you're really focused, and you've got your 10 best things. And afterward, you just didn't have your thing. You didn't have your good stuff on show. You did a bad job. But whatever, you know, the conferences. What are you gonna do? That's not the real show.
Nope.
That's not. Watch Dogs is great. Getting to see Assassin's Creed gameplay was pretty cool. I mean, that was cool.
Watch Dogs was the highlight of the press conferences,
right? Certainly it was, which is actually sort of terrible.
Yeah.
I mean,
should have been filled with.
It should have been several things
really
like
interesting, fun-looking things.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been the only thing that was really new and interesting. So I don't know. All the words get written about the press conferences. I still like watching them every year.
Mm-hmm.
they're kind of bad for years now. I still like watching. I still get excited. Still want to see what they're going to do, you know? Just like NAB, on the edge of my seat the whole time. Mm-hmm. Except for Nintendo. And I could get more out of that if I weren't apparently the only man on Earth who is not charmed at all by Miyamoto.
Yeah.
I don't dislike him. I just don't think he's... He comes out and he does some cute stuff and is like... Whatever he does, I don't know. Some thing. And I'm like, dude, just go away. Like, just go, I don't know, do some... Go play with some kids somewhere or something. I think you're fine, but I'm not going to get one of your games... Not like one of your real games. I'm not going to get like one of the two things that I want to play out of you. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. So, just don't want to see you. Because I don't have any sort of happy emotions toward your company. Because of stuff you did a very long time ago.
Mm-hmm. And continue to do.
I guess.
Yeah.
Not, again, not the stuff I want.
Yeah.
He doesn't continue to do that.
Yeah.
So... But I'm not upset at the man or anything. I feel like he gets trotted out in front of the conference all the time because people like him because he's adorable,
mm-hmm.
and we're sort of disarmed. And then he's like, if I were a little more, I feel like he's distracting me, right? And then like Reggie sort of comes in from the back and like. Picks your pocket or something. Or maybe they're doing a good cop, bad cop routine. Like, he comes out and just stumbles over his...
Broken English.
Yeah, his really broken English. Which, I bet the man speaks perfect, flawless English. Right? Seriously, like an English prep school graduate. So I bet it is... magnificent, crisp, flawless English. And he's got this practiced
persona,
fumbling,
yeah.
You know, your Japanese granddad routine where he like pulls little toys out of his pocket and makes funny faces. No, dude, it's all an act. He's disarming you so that Reggie can come out and drill a bunch of goddamn statistics into your brain for the next 45 minutes. With that, like, with that look he has on his face. Like, he's just so pissed off. Look at him when he sells you his console. He looks like he just hates his own shit.
He does. Every picture I took of the man,
yeah.
I was like, man, he's scowling again. No, he's not. That's just how he normally looks.
The only time in the entire conference he looked happy was with the fake zombie face over him. The zombie face looked happier than his normal face. So, whatever. I don't care. They're not talking to you and me. They're not. They got a huge stage. They're talking to investors. They're talking to people who write newspaper articles for your hometown newspaper. They're talking to CNN, and they're talking to the BBC. They're just not talking to us. Not about us. Yeah. Ubi was a little more about us. Whether that was intentional or not, I can't quite tell. But I liked their stuff. And not for nothing, it was the first time I'd run across Shoot Mania. And I thought that their presentation was really not good. But Jeremy and I wound up watching fucking hours of Shoot Mania competitions online. And it was... I had forgotten. And you don't know. And I don't think you know. But you do. At least a little bit.
He pointed to me and then RJ. Oh, sorry. He's pointing to Matt.
To Matt.
For those listening.
You remember what... FPSs were, and to go back to the 90s for a minute, you remember what that shit was.
Yeah.
You remember that it was all speed and all reaction, all map knowledge, all hand-eye coordination. You remember like that weird that sort of tension?
Twitch.
Yeah, it was good. And it's
Counter-Strike.
Yeah, yeah. And so we wound up watching just hours of Shoot Mania competition being like, this is... Do you remember this? I remember what... I used to feel this way all the time.
Yeah.
I used to go home every day and feel like this for hours. And it was really good. Yeah. So.
You know, the exact path to, you know, between the map to get to between two points, you know.
Right.
Where to, you know, like, twitch, aim, fire.
And I miss it. And it isn't even that I've fallen out of it. It's that it's not
there.
They
don't really offer it anymore.
Yeah. So I was really happy to see that there was something that, that did. Mm-hmm. Again, their presentation isn't so good, but...
I'm trying to think the last one I really remember like that was, what, Quake 3?
For that kind of thing, yeah, for like arena-style competition, yeah, it was Quake 3, probably.
Unreal Tournament. They made a number of Unreal Tournaments after that, most
they
of
did.
Which I didn't play.
They did, but those skewed a little more towards team play, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that's where we went. That's where we went for years and years and years at the top of the of the last decade. Is we went to team play. You still had fast twitch based stuff, but I mean, you were moving more in the direction of like day defeat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we had already moved the direction of Counter Strike.
Yes.
So, but whatever. I just mean to say that they, the, one of the worst parts of their presentation still introduced me to something that I wound up really looking forward to. So. I was like, yeah, Assassin's Creed was whatever. Oh, look, it looks like Assassin's Creed. Okay. Okay. I'm fine with that, I guess.
The footage for 1313 has me excited.
Why? Be honest.
They're saying... All right, it's a direction that I think Lucasfilm... I mean, LucasArts has needed to go for a while. They're talking about they want it to be an M-rated game. They don't, no Jedi, it's going to be bounty hunters, it's going to be the dregs, you know, level 1313 of, you know, Coruscant. It's not, you know, you're not going to be the paragons with the force. It's going to be, you know, the scum and the villainy. And I think they've needed to go that way for a good while. I mean, I've missed my Kyle Katarn, you know. I will always have fond memories of, you know, Jedi Outcast, you know, running around.
Well, my fondest memory of Kyle Katarn is long before he fucking learned to use the Force.
True. Dark Forces was, you know...
I spent a lifetime in that game.
Yeah. But, so, to go this way, you know, I didn't play too much of Bounty Hunter, you know, Jango Fett, you know, but this sounds really, really interesting, you know, that it's going to, you know... All right, so it'll be a cover mechanic, fine.
Which isn't great, and it's caught a lot of shit for that, which yeah. I sort of wish it hadn't. I'm a little more forgiving of overused mechanics if they don't themselves piss me off.
Yeah.
Just because I know a lot of people disagree with this, but oh yeah, I know what you're saying there. It's a cover mechanic. That's fine. We all know how that works.
Mm-hmm.
So... you take something that you don't have to think too hard about, that you don't have to go deep into design over, and just take it for granted.
Or a new way of playing the game.
And then work on the rest of the parts of the game and make those interesting. Don't try to lay in a new gameplay mechanic and the new setting and all of...
new characters.
That sounds a little bit trite, but I look at it, I say, okay, you're using something that works, and you're building other interesting things on top of it. I'm okay with that, because my perception is that's going to take a load off of you as a developer to some degree. Maybe I'm wrong.
The footage that they had, they said, you know, this character is just a placeholder.
Yeah, they kept saying
and
that.
And the thing that gets me interested, I mean, I got my hopes. I don't know if they will, but, you know, it's a bounty hunter. I'm hoping it's going to be Boba Fett. Because, you know, his clone number is CT-1313.
Yeah, I know.
So...
I know, and I know that there's really no other good reason not to lead with your actual character.
Yeah.
Hey, we want to share the tech, but we don't want to, like, lay down
give
our
out
cards.
Yeah. So, I mean, can you imagine actually a Boba Fett game?
All right, now answer me this. A lot of people were talking about how amazing the tech looked.
It looked nice.
It was okay. It was okay. It wasn't the thing of the show that made me say, aha, that's next-gen hardware.
No.
But a lot of people said that. I was like, no, that's the best current-gen hardware.
Yeah.
But, again, maybe I'm wrong. I wasn't really impressed by the videos. Wasn't pissed off about them either. There just wasn't a whole lot there. But I want to... and I mean this seriously. I'm not poking at you because it's a Star Wars thing and you're mad.
I've been kind of...
and anybody, if you can think of a way to do this, you tell me. You tell me right now. How the fuck do you make an M-rated Star Wars anything? How do you do that? Because there ain't never been anything Star Wars that...
the closest we got was PG-13.
Yeah.
You know, what, kill some younglings?
I mean, I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
Even Emory games really don't let you do that.
That doesn't belong.
I mean, are they going to include Bless?
Some way you can do
it. Okay, well, there you go. You've kind of hit on it. If you're claiming to go M-rated, okay, then what you're doing is you are trying to narrow your focus down to guys like us, people who are old enough and who think, right or wrong, oh, M-rated, that's for me because I like hardcore stuff, okay? What's he going to do? Is he going to go around saying fuck all the time? No. Am I going to get, like, Twi'lek titties? I doubt it.
There were those in Jedi.
Not really. They were. They...
She didn't fall out, but I mean, there was blood a little bit in when Panda Boba guys.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. The furthest the Star Wars anything, setting aside the possibility of the expanded universe novels, right? Mm-hmm. The furthest anything in the Star Wars universe has ever gotten is something that's mildly PG-13. Or T-rated, or whatever, depending on what it is. I don't have any concept of anything in the Star Wars universe ever going to an M-rated place. Even that fiction. Maybe the Empire graphic novels. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Rebirth of the Emperor stuff. Which, I'm not trying to be silly. I'm just honestly suggesting... What other than what RJ just said do you do? Do you pump the Star Wars universe full of shit that doesn't belong there? I like a darker, grittier Star Wars, but I thought the original films were plenty dark and gritty, and they were not R. You know,
like the old rumors that they had to include, you know, George put in Bruin Owen's bodies just so it didn't get a G rating.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what. But doesn't that feel completely opposite of everything else we do in the world? We have to draw back the things we love so that it doesn't get the M, so that they can get the thing. Or we have to pull out material that really would belong in a terrible environment so that the movie gets PG-13. I don't see Star Wars naturally being at an M-rated place. And when somebody says...
But all we've known, though, is like, you know, the Paragons, you know,
No, that is not all. That is not all we've known, dude. We've known plenty other than that. There have been plenty of opportunities to expose us to the worst, darkest, most horrifying corners of the Star Wars universe, and it's never...
I mean, are we talking canon, or are we, you know... Because, like, you know what, Jabba, okay, he's a gangster, but you don't see him get to see gangstery stuff.
The point I'm trying to make is, if someone were to tell me, I'm taking this thing and I'm going to take it back to, like, being serious and hardcore. I'm going to take it back to a place where it was based on more intense things. Or if the game was based on a movie or something, you know. That Wolverine shit. X-Men Origins game, right? The movie was like, it was a piece of turd. The game was like, look, this is Wolverine, right? This is what happens when Wolverine does his thing. And this is what happens to Wolverine when he gets in a fight. We're going to blow giant chunks out of his body, and he's going to tear people new assholes with his claws in the game. Very clear, very obvious reason to take it to an M-rated place when the movie wasn't. Because he's Wolverine, right? I'm super curious about why you would look at Star Wars and be like, yeah, man, that shit needs to be M-rated. What do you do in the Star Wars universe that doesn't feel completely out of place to make it M-rated? It's an honest question.
Yeah.
I'm pushing against you to see if you can come up with something that I haven't thought of.
I think, you know, with the setting, with the being in the lower parts of...
Yeah, but what's down in the lower parts?
You know,
that horse?
Possibly.
Really?
I don't know.
In Star Wars?
That'd be awesome.
There is...
It would be different. I don't know.
It would be different.
Yes. I'm just curious to see how they pull it off.
Well, you know? I'm curious to see how they pull it off.
I'm excited to see, like, all right, what are they going to do with this?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know how the hell Halo's M-rated, to be quite honest with you. That's something I've never understood. So those ratings don't make sense to me anyway. But unless they're swearing, which makes no sense, or unless there's, you know, tits and drugs,
right? Maybe drugs. I mean, spice.
Is
I don't know. Yeah.
But what, it's what you do when you're not, when you don't even have the balls to use drugs. When you want to, like, insert the concept of a somewhat illicit substance, but you've never, they don't even show it. It has, like, a couple of mentions in the whole thing, you know? I just don't get how you turn Star Wars into M-rated without being gaudy, I guess. And I don't need that. I don't need to have an M on the box for it to be a good game. And so, there's my concern. But whatever. I agree and look forward to it. It looks great. If it's Boba Fett, super great. Whatever. I put Boba Fett on my leg, for Christ's sake. So obviously I'm going to play a Boba Fett game.
Yeah.
But, you know. Well, I guess we'll just leave that till we know some more.
Mm-hmm. Next tweet. More from Nabokov here. Contrasting your guys' opinions on Max Payne 3 with the press, they feel it brings the genre and series into the future with just enough visually to hint at the old style. Nabokov says, I wish the press would stop pretending to give a shit about PC games.
Is the future dystopian?
Well, it is now.
Okay.
They definitely contrast with our opinion then, because I don't agree. But we've had our say.
Yeah. His next tweet is, according to Giant Bomb, Monolith is now a renamed WB Studio and has been making a Lord of the Rings Dota game for the past 3 years. Wow.
Okay. That doesn't do it for me, really. Lord of the Rings game's not my thing, and Dota style, also not my thing. I'm going to go back to doing what they used to do.
Blood?
Yeah.
More from Nabokov. You see Star Wars 1313, that's what high-end PCs will do and why the consoles have a ton to go in terms of lifelike visuals. So I guess he saw it as a next-gen...
Well, not necessarily, because like so many other things at the show...
Showing it off
through the PC. They're showing it off through the PC. Which is great. It's a great time. Hey, if you're PC master race, like, it's a good time to look at the show and be like, that's on my shit.
Yeah.
That shit right there,
Watchdogs,
it's coming out for your shit, but it's running on my shit. So. Like, your shit, my shit. Like I don't have all of that shit in my house anymore.
Right.
and to be fair, I'm hurting for a GPU upgrade, so nothing at that show was running on my shit.
More from Nabokov. Listening to the Bombcast, Taswell just said, I wish we could get Amy Hennig, but we don't rate that high. As always, IGC equals best. I was surprised to see that.
I got a chuckle out of that.
Yeah. He also sent us a tweet and says, please watch this prior to recording and discuss it. This is shocking. He was talking about an interview that somebody did with GameSpot. GameSpot reporter interviewed the guy in charge of Medal of Honor Warfighter.
Yeah.
Did you? Okay, so you
watched that. I didn't watch all of it, but yeah.
Well, the whole thing behind it was that the reporter, the journalist, said that this game is not realistic, it's insulting to, I'm verbatim here. This is not.
You're paraphrasing.
Paraphrasing. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Say that.
Yeah, he just had an issue with realism and something like that, but yeah. I know he was harping on realism and how it wasn't
a... This is like a very long... This is like a 20-minute conversation
they
had. Yeah. And it all essentially came down to that, I believe.
Yeah, is that we're not making realistic, we're making entertaining.
Well, I kind of figured that when it was a video game.
Right.
I mean...
Which I think is the first thing the guy says when they go into...
Am I being an idiot?
No. I think that's the first thing that the dude on the Modern Warfare side of Medal of Honor Warfighter.
Is that what it is?
I think that's what it is. Warface? No, that's something else.
That's Warface is something else. And you have to say Warface as Warface!
But I think that was the first thing he said was like, whoever the journalist's name is like, dude, this is a video game. I think that's right. What we're trying to aim for, because this is a video game.
Not a document. documentary.
Right.
Not a simulation. But
now, I want to say there was more context to it than that. I don't want to just say that the dude was being obtuse and being like, "Well, your video game isn't very realistic." I want to say that there was specific context about, well, aren't you addressing this, this, and this? Isn't all of your advertising material?
Right, okay. Shit Pagans correcting us on here. Well, not correcting us, but saying that it was the Medal of Honor guy wanted to say it's authentic.
That's a tough word. Authentic is a tough word. And when you're talking about, like things you feel a certain way about, I think it's all... This is a little strange... I think authentic is a great word to describe when you don't want to say realistic or accurate. You want to say authentic. It's about authentic is like a qualitative feeling, you know? Like, feels good. Like, feels right. Just kind of
feels like a gun in my hand.
Feels,
and I shoot.
Yeah, authentic isn't verisimilitude, you know? It's not that sort of thing. It's...
Mm-hmm. You have a lot of outroads if you say authentic, I suppose.
Yeah, but it's not even. But it's not even an attempt to run away from being pinned down. I think it's probably okay. But again, yeah, it's. I don't want to try to talk about that because it's worth going and watching it. There is context in that conversation. Okay. It's not as simple as just saying, like these guys were both just being douches, or this one or this other guy was. It was a bit of a thing. It's not going to make you feel better about the world. And that's the problem, is that I think the whole conversation really leaves you feeling quite bad.
Yeah. In fact, STM Fuller brings it up, but the guy on the model, on the Medal of Honor side, even brought up Arma. Mm-hmm. And how that is your, you know, if you want your realism in your gaming, you can go over to your Arma thing.
But it also requires making a different kind of game.
It does.
And I've got, I have no sympathy for Warfighter or the guys who are making it, really, or the game. I'm not interested. And I couldn't stand the video they were trying to show me at E3.
How much realism, though, would you sacrifice entertainment and gameplay for realism?
Not a goddamn bit. I don't want to sacrifice any entertainment in order to get some realism.
If you want realism, then...
Yeah, but here's the thing. Unless the realism is a kind of entertainment. If we're playing Sturmovik, okay? The realism in Sturmovik is the entertainment.
It's a take-off crash simulator.
Right, it's a game about flipping over upside down while you try to take off.
Yeah, but with the...
Kevin just used hacks to automagically his plane in the air and pretend like he knew what the fuck he was doing. He's a liar. Yeah. Nobody ever did that.
It's like me going from Afterburner to Sturmovik.
Yeah.
That was a comedy of errors. I mean, I flipped over one time and I couldn't flip back over again.
Yeah.
So I'm looking up and seeing countryside and I couldn't figure out to get the way back, get myself back up.
Yep.
Yeah, it was realistic.
But see, if you're into simulation and if you're into realism, then the realism is the entertainment. But if you're talking about
first-person
shooter, Arma maybe is, like I said, it's your thing. But do I ever want to sacrifice any entertainment for realism?
Yeah.
Well, no.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, if it's realistic, you step around a corner, shot, and you're dead. That's it. Game over.
Right. So what do you do?
So
you want
authentic.
No
entertainment. Yeah.
You know?
So people say, "Oh, I know they want realism." No, that'd be the shortest game ever.
It was like that, wouldn't it? Once you're shaking your mech and you're gone. That's it.
Yeah.
You lose
the
everything.
Games, yeah.
The right. entire everything you work for is gone because you got blown up in your mech. That's it.
And that's fair, but yeah. I think that's a good way of saying, like, authentic. Mm-hmm. We're trying to present a certain experience, based on a set of principles or some kind of fiction, and if it matches that. It's authentic, you know? Whatever, it's a wordy thing, man. You can get in a lot of trouble dancing around the wordy things. Particularly when everyone involved uses the same word in a different way.
Yeah.
The guys who make the game mean this. The guys who market the game mean this. The guys who critique the game mean this thing.
The guys who play it.
And then the 5 million assholes at home watching on YouTube all have their own definitions. It's really sort of problematic. Nonetheless... You know, if you've got a strong stomach and nothing better to do for 20 minutes, it's an interesting thing to watch.
Gersnort says, Indie Game the Movie is on Steam. I know it's about video games, but this, does this mean more films on Steam in the future?
Hmm.
Anything's possible, obviously. I don't know.
I don't see why not. They already, I mean, they're already a really great distribution channel for things.
Like, would you do like a rental, or you know?
Oh, I don't know. You could. They already do, sort of. They do free rentals.
Yeah,
that's what a free weekend is. They're also a really good recognized channel for indie things.
Yeah,
I don't see any reason why that has to be games and not movies. Wouldn't bother me terribly. They have their own economist now.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see that?
Did not see that.
They hired an economist. Staff economist.
That'd be somebody I'd like to talk to.
He didn't know anything about video games. At all. He has no concept about how or why video games work. Which is why he wanted the job.
Mm-hmm.
Because he thought it was fascinating. He wanted to learn more about it. I'm curious about their motivations.
Spigot writes in and says, I'm absolutely hooked on Saints Row the Third. GTA 5 has a high bar to clear, especially in the pure fun department. And says, speaking of Saints Row, what do you think of the comments from THQ CEO about Volition being able to do better? Strange stuff.
Scott and I went over that right before the show, and I think he doesn't want it. Maybe I'm misunderstanding it. I think the pure fun of Saints Row the Third is, I think what he's saying is, yeah, we did okay. What did we do? Ship $4 million?
Yeah, I think it was $4 million.
I think what he's basically saying is, can't really do better than $4 million if all you are is what we are. We're goofy fun.
Right.
We're an insane, off-the-wall kind of game. And this is about as good as you can do in terms of numbers. You're really not going to penetrate beyond this because there are the people who like this. There's just so many of them. Sounded a lot to me like he wants to take it in a different direction.
It did to me, too. Like, he was trying to go, like, he wanted, a little bit like he wanted to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
Or something, yeah.
Well, he's been at the job for a couple weeks.
Yeah, only a few weeks.
So my guess is that Saints Row Goes Forth, or whatever, will be a little more.
They're going to steal that from you, I swear to God.
Whatever, I stole it from Blackadder.
Gersnort.
So they're welcome to it.
Yeah, Gersnort. Stacks onto that and says, speaking of THQ, how shitty is it that they tried hiding THQ San Diego's closure by doing it during EA's presser?
It was pretty shitty.
Yeah.
It was. I'm assuming you guys saw that.
Yeah.
Like, during the press conference that was about the thing that they had just closed that studio because of.
Yeah. Like, you see this this UFC game over
it
here.
It was so shitty it was actually kind of funny.
Yes. That UFC game that EA just announced, they only got that because we just got rid of our entire...
San Diego.
Yeah, people that were working on that. Or who had worked on that in the past, so... but yeah, they decided to just bury it under the news of E3.
Tried to. You can't really do that anymore.
Nope. Mm-mm. And then when it's found out, it's even more so because you tried to do that.
That they thought you could do that.
Yeah.
Is sort of funny.
Was that phrase, insult my intelligence?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just a little bit, you can't, this isn't in the newspapers, man. It's not like we're limited by, like, oh, they'll bury us on page 8 or whatever. Like, it's not like that. This is not how things work anymore.
Yeah.
And that you think that you can get the story buried is a little bit weird. And I think actually E3 is a tough time to bury a story because everybody's like,
everybody's
vibrating.
Yeah.
practically, and any little tidbit has a chance to get knocked up to a higher energy state or something, you know?
Well, the perfect example of that was when I left the Ubi press conference early.
That was fucking
and I got to Sony's press conference. And we're outside before anybody goes in. They're outside and they got, you know, music and food and everything set up. And people see me with my little goodie bag from Ubi because I walked out early. I didn't see the end of the show. I had to get to Sony to get in. The only way I could get in was meeting a guy there and he was going to let me in. That's why I had to leave early. Ubi. It wasn't because I was bored. It wasn't because I was just like, you know, screw this. I'm going to Sony. So when I get there, again, Ubi's just wrapped up by the time I get there. He's sending me...
The tweets. Minute it wrapped up, I sent him a text. I was like, blah, 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 blah.
Watchdog
shit, yeah? And he's like, what is that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that like an Ubi thing? And I was like, what is wrong with you? And because in my head, I'm thinking, he's just a stupid Scott. He just walked, you see, he saw Assassin's Creed and then left or something. I don't know.
No.
But it's, yeah, because so you basically made it, by the time you made it to Sony,
the Ubi thing was over with. But nobody from the Ubi thing had gotten there. I was like one of the first that had gotten there because I had had my little bag with me. So everybody saw me with my bag. And this is how fast news spreads. Everybody kept asking me about that game, Watch Dogs. They're like, oh, are you at the Ubi thing? What was Watch Dogs about? And I was like, man, I left early. I didn't see it. I don't know. But everybody knew to ask about Watch Dogs. Mm. I even sat with Naughty Dog and they were asking me about Watch Dogs. Like, what's that Watch Dogs thing? I'm seeing tweets and stuff on my Twitter or getting texts from other guys. And I was like, I don't know. So he pulled out his phone and we went to YouTube and watched it while we were sitting in the audience. But that's how fast that stuff spreads. I mean, it goes that fast.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really unheard of, honestly. And I would say, you know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
But that's exactly how it should work.
How fast. No, yeah.
And it's exactly... And simply put, it's exactly why the press conferences are so stupid.
Yes.
The way they kind of are. Mm-hmm. And exactly why what Ubi did was perfect. No, well, there was a little bit of preamble, but it was just story. There was no system tags at the end of it, no guy who came out and tried to demo it looking like shit, nobody who... Nothing. They just think shit. They were like, hey, this stuff. Bye. And everybody was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they didn't even point out that somebody joined the game.
Yeah, at the end.
And they started a co-op thing. Yeah. It was just like, interruption.
Oh, well.
You have a mission. And the camera goes and shows you two guys, and it goes back to the game. And it's just like, you guys figure it out.
And that's how it works, man. Why don't you guys do the work?
Yeah.
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 It was fun. But you're right, yes. It isn't how it worked a few years ago, but it's absolutely how it works now.
Gersnort sends us in tweets and says, are there any free-to-play games you guys are playing or trying out? I recently got hooked into Tribes and Super Monday Night Combat. I ask because I'm really surprised at the quality of free-to-play games releasing lately. Thoughts on this sea change in free-to-play?
I've decided that I'm going to at least spend a little bit of time in Tribes. I wasn't really happy with what I was hearing about how the unlocks worked.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately following its release, that it was like kind of magnificently grindy, and that even the real money prices were kind of bad. But it did a little bit of reading. They've patched the game a couple of times and readjusted some of the values. So I just a couple days ago re-downloaded it, sort of optimistic about it, and I sort of needed something fast and shooty. And that looked like it was going to do it for me. So I'm interested in trying it out. And I read some good things online about, you just, like, you can really get your money's worth. You know, play the game a little bit. Do you like the game? Go buy, like, the $10 VIP pack with some gold for real money. And just use that and, like, watch the daily deals on weapons and stuff and buy that and be smart. You can get most of what you want that way. And in the end, you've spent a little bit of money on a game that you like, and that's sort of how it's supposed to work. As for, like, noticing the upswing in quality, two of the things I'm most looking forward to this year are free-to-play. Like, two of my top five games my number one game of this year is free to play. So, a year ago, I talked a lot of shit about free to play.
Yeah,
a lot of it, and I didn't want it.
I think a lot of other people talked a lot of shit about it.
Yeah,
there was a year ago, and maybe even not a year ago. I would say just earlier this year. The model of free to play was looked at as
a death knell.
Well, for an MMO, to convert to free to play,
looked like
it's
an act of desperation.
Yeah, and it was an act of desperation. It's just that it worked.
It worked. Yes.
The two things are not mutually exclusive, and that was the thing, is that our perception was colored by, oh God, we completely suck. It's a subscription-based model. We have to run to free-to-play. And that sort of looked bad. And then, you know, kind of like inserting the dollar sign into Microsoft, people can't help but always say pay-to-win. Right? We can't... Mm-hmm. That every time free-to-play comes up, somebody has to just say, oh, it's all pay-to-win. As if there was no possibility that it was anything else. So that's... The discussion's still pretty gross.
Yeah.
But I'm softening to it a lot, realizing not only was I overreactive about certain things, some of them not, but I was wrong about certain things. And in addition, there are things I just never considered, which was free-to-play lets us all in. And it lets me decide how much I like your game. How much I want to give you based on how much I like your game. You know?
Other than Planet Side, what's the other one?
Hawken.
Oh, Hawken.
Planet Side and Hawken. The other games in
there. MechWarrior Online.
Well, they're talking about
it in the chat. That's not this year, though. Is it?
I
don't think there's a... I don't...
Have they pushed it?
I'm saying I don't think there was a date at all. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I thought it was later. If it isn't, I'm super interested. It's not in my top five, but those two are. I'm sorry, Scott.
No, that's who they were also talking about. That MechWarrior Online was one that they were looking forward to.
Ken and I are definitely going to get on that one.
Well, I'm into it. I just don't know what the timetable is, and I do know what the timetable on PlanetSide and Hawken are, and they're both this year.
Yeah. But yeah, the free to play is it's got its own category for best of an E3 now.
Yeah,
because there's so much of it out there. Neverwinter is a free to play.
Yeah.
End of Nations is a free to play. I think it's End of Nations.
We're gonna have to start paying attention to it as its own list of stuff.
Yeah, really. It's the same thing.
It makes me excited. I thought Tribes was a good thing because I was like, man, I really want to play something, but I'm just not. I'm not spending any money right now. There's a Steam sale right around the corner. I got plenty of other things I need to spend money on. But it's like, hey, whatever. You don't have to. It's a free game. And that feels pretty good. It feels nice just to be able to be like, oh, that. I'll take that. And if I like it, fine, I'll buy something from your thing.
Yeah. They're also saying MechWarrior is this year.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. That's good.
If you don't like in fact, out. This summer.
Some time.
Is what they're saying.
Blue.
Unless you got bandwidth caps. This summer?
Yeah.
Is that for real? Or are they
That's what I'm seeing. That's what Daniel says. MechWarrior Online is supposed to come out this summer, I believe, and then Ship Pagan says, yeah, I've been hearing August.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine. It's not like I want it to come out later. I just... Seems a little bit optimistic, but okay.
Beta is slated to end early August. Of course, testing could push that further back, says Dan.
That still sounds okay, though. Yeah. A late August beta close still probably...
Regardless, it sounds very much like it'll be this March. Year. Yeah, it'll be this year.
Man, two free-to-play mech games. I got a Stompy free-to-play.
Yes.
And I got some, like, Armored Cookie. Core Zippy free-to-play.
I miss my Stompy mechs.
All right.
Our next tweets come from Kyrie, who says, I was going to email you, but the TLDR on Diablo 3. Fun gameplay, but they fucked up the loot. When I see a yellow drop, I never expect it to be good. Their excitement, anticipation of good drops is completely gone. But that was the addiction loop in Diablo 2. You played because if you killed one more boss, maybe you'd get what you wanted. Also, give hardcore a try. It's great fun, even when your level 60 DH gets one-shotted by the first zombie in Inferno.
They did break the loot. Mm-hmm. We've said this. They did break the loot. At best, I see a yellow drop, and I'm like, maybe someone somewhere could use this. I mean, not me. There's no way it's for me, but maybe I'll roll up some stats on this that are good enough for the auction house. You saw that the real money went live.
Yeah, it did.
That shit's weird. That shit's fucking weird. You can go on to the Diablo subreddit right now, or onto the official forums, and I'm a little confused, because their first day, man, people were just knocking out $250 sales. That's the cap for real money. And not even like with the greatest thing ever, you know, with some really, really good, like, legendary items or exceptionally good rares. But people are like, I got nothing against someone spending their real dollars. And I don't mind. I'm not really worried about it. But holy shit, man. Like, right off the bat, people were like, thank God I can get rid of this extra $250. And the PvP system doesn't even exist yet. So I don't exactly understand the clamor. You know, I understand saving yourself a little bit of time. And what if you're a working professional? I know how long it takes to grind out either the chance of getting a good piece of gear, which is so low that you can't even bank on it, or enough
gold,
whatever gear, to get the gold to get the good gear. So that time spent, okay, so there's some guys out there that it's worth 250, and they've done the math. But, damn, dude, it's $250.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of dollars.
Yeah.
You find a good item, two good items, you just got a new, the best video card in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's... I can see why people are tempted to consider it gambling. If I just run through one more time, if I just spend one more hour farming the little treasure goblins,
mm-hmm.
you know? If I push through and just farm Act 3 of Inferno one more time, I'll get that good thing, you know? It's very interesting. But I feel like the opening chapter of Diablo 3 hasn't even finished yet. Real Money Auction House is out. Okay, that's fine. But the full picture, I think, actually isn't going to be right until the PvP comes out. Because that's going to change how the entire sales thing, how the market thing works again.
The whole economy will just completely shift again.
Yeah.
Huge.
So it's really weird. But it's funny that the Real Money Auction House has changed the gold economy the way it is. Because you can sell gold for real money as well. There's a cap of $250. So you can't charge more than $250 for any item in the Real Money Auction House. So, if first day, man, things are just going for the maximum amount of money, and you find an item that's better than that, now a lot of people are basically saying, well, I can't get more than $250 for this. And if I'm really wanting the money myself and send it to my PayPal account, I gotta take a 15% cut. So, which we have to do anyway, but if this thing over here is $250, and I got a thing that I think is maybe worth $400, so why don't I just sell it in the gold auction house for like a billion gold, and then take that gold and go sell the gold for money?
Sell it off in increments.
Yeah. So it's unfortunately had a really serious effect on the gold economy as well. But that's not done yet. The whole thing's not done yet. Diablo 3 is just getting started, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. That's all the tweets we got. And jump over to the emails. If I can get all this nastiness out of me. Dilla writes in with the subject of surprise games, and he mentions Red Faction Guerrilla. Says, I finished it up a couple of months ago, and for whatever reason, the experience has stuck with me. It isn't the best game I've ever played, or even the best game I've played recently, but I keep feeling like it scratched an itch I didn't know I had. What's more is that it seems to have been a total surprise to me, as I had heard almost nothing about it before picking it up on Steam as part of a THQ combo deal. So the question is this, do you guys know of any recent games that you have played that kind of come out of nowhere to surprise you in a good way, either because it got insufficient press for its quality, or because you just missed whatever coverage there was for the game at the time of its release?
Recent. I can't think of anything recently that I've done that with.
The last thing like that for me was Metro. It went on sale pretty quick after it came out because nobody...
Yeah.
We talked about it. Nobody could play the damn thing because its system requirements were pretty high. It caught a bunch of shit because...
That was THQ as well.
Yeah. it was linear as hell. But it was Russian, right? And so it was Russian post-apocalypse. Must be exactly like Stalker. Hey, wait, it's not like Stalker. Fuck this game. Was sort of how I remember the story going. And it's like, no, it's... It's nothing like Stalker. It's not trying to be like Stalker. It's trying to be Metro. But whatever. And I just bought it because, I don't know, whatever. It was on a super big sale. It was like the first real sale the game had. And I needed something. And I loved it. I mean, I knew it was there before, but I hadn't heard a single person say anything about it. And I loved it. I still think it's one of those that not enough people have played.
I can't think of any, honestly. There probably is from way back in the past of some sort, but anything within the last couple of years, I can't think of anything that hasn't already been turned on to me by somebody else who played and said, hey, you need to try this. It's really good. I can't think of anything that I just found out on my own that fits into that bill for myself. Anybody else?
Nothing recent in my case. The only thing I can think of is an old game I picked up out of a budget bin from a Blockbuster called Disaster Report on the PlayStation 2. The genre, it was basically about this new city that was built, this wave of the future city, and it was collapsing. The thing was like coming up, coming down around itself, and you were a reporter your first day there, and it's basically surviving through natural disasters. No zombie invasion, no war, nothing like that. I mean, earthquakes, typhoons, all types of stuff like that, and surviving through that, trying to get out of the city before it was destroyed. You know, it wasn't the prettiest game. Certainly nothing that was going to get a whole lot of press. But I found myself really liking that one, and never heard of it before.
It's another thing that was a lot more common a long time ago. Mm-hmm. You would just go to the game store and there would be like a wall of stuff. And a lot of it you'd seen in a magazine or something.
But you'd find that one thing that you didn't know anything about.
It was that one thing. It was a lot of things. Or you go like to the rental store and you're like, the art on that box looks great. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll try that, you know. And you do that and you get Soul Blazer on the Super NES, which was one of the, like... I don't know what the hell this is, but Soul Blazer, that sounds fun, right? Who doesn't want to blaze souls?
Leekon remembers Disaster Report. He says he remembers that game. They actually threw a house at you. Literally threw a house at you, apparently. So, Daniel says that's how he picks booze. That bottle looks cool. I'll try it.
He's joking, but he's not joking. That's how everybody picks wine.
Yeah.
The name and the label.
Paolo writes in to us about The Geek's Dream. You spoke about Planetside and how awesome it was. The game suffered from very bad design problems. On top of that, we played it in a time where internet was expensive, slow, and prone to fail. Still, none of that mattered when you had 300-plus people fighting another 300-plus. The scale made it all fun. I really have big hopes for Planetside 2 if they manage to deliver the same or even bigger scale. Prevent cheats. Planetside 1 suffered a lot from that. It'll be an awesome game. But more than that, it might detach the RPG from the MMO. I believe an MMO doesn't need to be an RPG game. You don't need to have quest stats progression. You throw in an environment where hundreds of players cooperate or compete for an objective. As long as it's something fun to do, it's a win-win formula. Finally, for years and years since we played Jedi Knight and X-Wing, we geeks dreamed of playing a game where you could be flying a ship, then land it, fight on the ground, then capture some vehicle and drive it. Well, that's not a single-player game. That is the ultimate MMO experience. Are we getting close to that?
God, I hope so.
If PlanetSide 2 works, then we're there. If it works and works well and makes some money, has plenty of players, someone else will take notice. Someone else will try to do something similar. I know that, what was the one they did on the PS3?
Oh, Mag?
Mag. That was another one. I don't know how well it did, but I couldn't remember its name, so. It's tough, you know. It's tough to make something like that work over there. But this is something, we were saying that shit for years. Yeah. Like,
I want to be defending an airbase, you know, on the ground, then, like, you know, have you call up, like, oh my god, get up, and, you know, get up, plant, you know, above the planet, there's a space battle going on, I need your help, and hop in the fighter.
Yeah, that's the real.
You know, go up there, like, blow some people out of the sky, and space.
Yeah, I want to be able to play at every scale, at every level. But PlanetSide's pretty fucking spectacular. PlanetSide 2, as it is, looks pretty spectacular. And it's, you know, it's funny. He makes a point about separating the RPG from the MMO. We've spent so long, and this is anecdotal, this is entirely anecdotal, but, you know, ever since the build-up to E3, and particularly all of the press that it got coming out of E3, there's been a lot of people in the world who have started to pay attention to it, who didn't play the first one at all, who don't know anything about what it is. They watched the stream and the videos out of E3, and to be fair, I understand where they're coming from. If you look at those things, it maybe doesn't look very different from Battlefield. But there are a lot of people who are just like, I don't like MMOs. You know, I've played this, this, and this, and I don't like them. It's not that. It's an FPS. Mm-hmm. MMO doesn't mean World of Warcraft. Mm-hmm. There was a time when MMO really had the opportunity to mean several different things. And RPGs were the only thing anybody made. But it's like, it's this kind of game. And I've seen several people try to explain PlanetSide. And for some reason, with a lot of people, it doesn't work. Because when you say MMO, their brain just automatically runs to WoW. Or to Guild Wars, or to whatever. They don't. We've sort of forgotten, like you said, that it can be anything different.
Was that stat based or in like level progression?
It was rank progression.
Okay,
it was.
I never played it.
It was mean, man. That game was a bitch. That game was mean. It was really. I killed like Kevin. Kevin played it for a long time. I played it with Kevin for several weeks. I think I killed 4 dudes. And I thought I was doing all right. I think I like actually like killed like 4, maybe 5 guys over the course of those weeks.
So kind of like World War II.
Yeah, it was mean. That game was mean as shit, dude. It was tough. And it was not fun. And it's possibly the ugliest thing I've ever played in my life. It was pretty good, though. But nobody remembers it. It was because it was miserable. It was super duper miserable. And even the first PlanetSide sort of kind of barely crossed the threshold into MMO. Because it had, like, hundreds of players, mm-hmm. you know? Which is a lot. But, how, you know? There were What did Battlefield 1942 have? 128 player servers?
Yeah, 128.
Right, so it's sort of a small matter of scale. PlanetSide 2 is, like, thousands. Thousands of people. Like 2,000 people per continent engaging each other. Yeah, 2,000
people.
That's a big
deal. Huge.
That's a big deal.
2,000 people will be playing it.
Well, go back to what I said about it being free to play. There's no barrier to entry whatsoever.
Yeah.
Which is probably why it's a good thing that it is free to play. You don't have to convince people. Like, you don't have to sell them on your game just so that the people who already know it's good have someone to kill. But the other problem is trying to say, like, no, it's this. See, look at this video. And there are a ton of people who are like, I don't see the difference between this and Battlefield. It's like, that sucks for you then, because it's really nothing like Battlefield. it's huge. There are things at work here with this many people that you can't really understand. Like, if there was a way for you to take kind of what you understand about open world MMOs and mix that with what you understand about Battlefield, you would be close. But the proof is going to be in the beta whenever that starts.
Do we want to do the giveaway? Do we want to give out those?
I don't want to do that.
I don't know.
I was thinking we got people in the chat room, so we could go like...
We got 9 people in the chat room.
Hey, who wants a beta key?
Yeah.
And then see who says anything. Okay, what do we have? We have 3?
We have 3 keys to give away, and we've got 9 people in the chat room.
1 in 3 odds, that's not bad.
Is Nab in there? Nab doesn't want a beta key.
Nab does not want one, so we have 8 people in the chat room.
Your odds are better.
And the three beta keys.
I don't know.
Wait a second, hang on. We now have 7 people in the chat room with 3 beta keys to give away. Somebody else just said, I don't want it either. Motile says he didn't want it.
Okay. Well, if anybody want one, we have 3 beta keys.
Wait a second, we dropped another person.
Wow.
Leecon, who already has a beta key, does not need one.
Yeah.
So, wow. So now we've got 1, 2, 3... So we got 6 people.
All right, the last 3 people in the chat room is going to get the key.
Oh, good God.
Could you tweet it also? And, you know, see if anyone following us on Twitter.
Hey, that's what the PlanetSide 2 team was doing. They would just tweet keys and be like, whatever, here you go. There's a key. Somebody can grab it.
Well, we're center giving away to people in the chat room. So
yeah, we're going
to
do it in the chat room. So... I tell you what, we'll go to the next question on the email thing, and I'll try and think up another way of giving these out. So we'll see what we have. Daniel sent us a tweet and says James needs to plug the Ace Combat flight stick into his PC and yeah. See if it works.
It does, of sorts.
I still have.
Well, he's specifically referring to his flight stick.
I still have Daniel's flight stick.
Oh. Was it from 6?
Yeah.
Because I got the 6 flight stick, and I did use it a little bit on my PC. It doesn't do yaw, unfortunately.
You can you bind that to?
Well, the problem is the yaw is on the throttle.
Throttle.
The 2.
Uh huh.
But it only registers on. It didn't go left or you know so. You know, it's like the triggers.
Uh-huh.
You know, you either push the trigger all the way in, and it's, you know, it's either going. So, but it doesn't go back or forth.
Doesn't go back or forth.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, yaw, you can either turn left or right. You know, yaw.
I know what yaw is.
Yeah. But I can't seem to get that, you know, that access to map to go where it will go either left or right. It'll either go like right or right, you know. It'll either be on or off. It doesn't. That one access for me, I can't seem to get to work. But I mean, other than that, I mean, it works all right.
Might work good for PlanetSide. I'm not sure how important yawing is in that game anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Flying your little skiffs and sky buggies around.
Yeah, I'm actually more interested in that Hawken controller.
That's a really great looking controller, isn't it?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the controller.
It's very Steel Battalion-ish.
Yeah, it is. The Steel Battalion were a PC controller.
Yeah.
I've always wanted
about plugging that stick in.
Yeah.
I've always wanted like the Steel Battalion with the USB so I could put that.
That's what it is. That's what this thing is that he's saying.
Go look at my write up on COG. There's a link to the controller in the write up so you can take it out. Paulo also writes in and says he wants to talk about Star Wars The Old Republic. Specifically, he's replying to an interview he read with BioWare's Daniel Erickson, who said that the team didn't expect the first group of players to move at lightning speed. Paulo's response is, dude, where the fuck have you been the past 10 years?
That's exactly what my response would be.
I've been locked in a cave. Every major patch, every major content release in any MMO out there is consumed in days, sometimes hours, and it's been like this forever. The only thing that has prevented in the past players from devouring content was that the content was so buggy people just couldn't do it. I'm sad that this game has come to this, and the more I see it, the more I believe it should have been KOTOR 3 single-player game. It's a missed opportunity for a decent IP and a shot in the foot from a previously loved developer. Now, if you want to do a good Star Wars game, pick up X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. Mm. Update the graphics and the multiplayer options, but please, for the love of God, don't touch the engine. I really, really want to remove the 10 years dust coating from my joystick.
It's things like that that make me honestly think that they're lying.
Yes.
Oh, we didn't believe people would do this. Man, look.
Bullshit.
You're lying to me. This isn't even... This doesn't require cynicism. You're being a liar. Because he's exactly right in that email. Every game of that type that's come out in the last forever, the content has been devoured at a frightening rate. And not even just by people who are doing their damnedest to beat it as quick as they can, but even average people. Just people who know how to play games and aren't intentionally taking a casual approach. You took an intentionally casual approach to Old Republic.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. I took a normal kind of endgame MMO guy approach.
Yeah, I don't have that in my... That's not in my wiring, how that works for you.
I was already done and ready to walk away from the game a week before my free month was up.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, alright, I see what your game has now. And I went back and I played another storyline and I was like, eh, okay.
Yep.
Bye. So to suggest that you had no idea that that's how people were going to respond, you're either frighteningly stupid or you're lying. And those are both really bad. But they've admitted that they're looking at free-to-play. I didn't expect them to do that. I didn't expect them to knuckle under. I specifically said I absolutely believe EA will hold out until the bitter end.
Yeah.
Before going free to play. And maybe they still will.
I was going to say, it's not there yet. They haven't done that yet, so who knows.
But they're already offering free to level, 20? Come this summer?
I think so, yeah.
And something like that, yeah. They're probably puzzling out the details of free to play for their game. To be honest, they've got a good structure for a free-to-play MMO.
They do.
Particularly with all of the companion stuff.
Yeah.
You know, your little dress-me doll that hangs out and is completely required for you to do anything. Yeah.
Next email comes from Daniel Phelps, who writes to us about Hitman Absolution. Says, a handful of times over the years I've heard some of you make passing references to the Hitman series of games, but not really much in the way of discussion. Makes sense, since there hasn't been a release in a while. So, Hitman Absolution. They're giving us the it's changed, but it's staying the same line, and the videos look very actiony and shooty, fast-paced, as opposed to how we actually play Hitman, which is very slow and methodical. Hitman, to me, and I think most of its fans, has always been about achieving a perfect, clean hit. No alerts, no excess killing, no witnesses, silent assassin ratings through and through. It was always about perfect execution, not genocide. Give some love to the Hitman games. I have to imagine that you guys are fans of it, but since you guys rarely reference it, I'm hoping to squeeze some thoughts about either Absolution or past entries in the series with this email. I'm a huge fan of open-ended stealth games. Hitman is among my favorites.
Yes, I love the old Hitman series. Blood Money was, I thought, an excellent Hitman game.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that one. I went through and actually get, Silent Assassin on every single mission and had a good time doing it. You know, take a while to go, carefully and go through and, do all the missions and stuff. But, I'm really looking forward to Absolution, even with the crazy nun video that they released. That everyone was bitching.
Yeah, that
about.
Wasn't maybe the best idea.
I still have not watched that thing. I heard a lot of talk about it, but I still haven't watched it.
Man,
it was. Yeah.
Look, dude, if it was a scene from a Robert Rodriguez film, everybody would be talking about how cool it was.
Yeah, but it didn't feel like Hitman. That's not what. Hitman's ever.
It also wasn't gameplay, was it?
No,
it was just a CGI trailer.
Yeah.
But that's also not what people were bitching about. People were saying, this feels very unlike the gameplay of previous entries. No, they were bitching about
it. They were on their soapbox.
Yeah. They were wearing their
sexy, slutty,
our industry
shining
is
armor, is what they were doing.
Our industry is better than that. situation.
Right. It really isn't, by the way.
No, it's
not. In case anyone was wondering, it's not better than that at all.
Said the week of Lollipop Chainsaw's release.
Or, have you guys heard about, like, the whole Tomb Raider, you know?
We have. Don't do that, though. I do want to answer this question.
Yeah.
Codename 47, when it came out, wasn't really good. Right, because it's long enough ago that was like it was a PC game,
yes.
And we were all like, "This looks pretty great." Oh,
it controlled really terribly.
Who was that? Was that has IO done all of them?
That was IO. Yeah,
that was IO. Okay, they've done all.
I'm pretty sure chat room will probably fix me if I'm wrong.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I was like, nope, no Hitman for me. And then two came out, and
Silent Assassin.
Yeah, I was like, nah, whatever, fuck it. And I got it for free when I upgraded a video card.
Ah.
I think it was my 9800.
Mm. Wow.
My ATI 9800? Mm-hmm. My 9600 something. And I was like, ugh. Whatever. That's sad, blah, blah, blah. Put the plastic disc in, blah, 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 blah. And it was another one of those games. I was like, whatever. It's just here. I guess I'll play it.
Just try it. Yeah.
Man. I drank every last drop of that game. It was one of those games that was not only just very good, it was exactly what I needed mm-hmm. at exactly that time. And it was everything good about the first Hitman game, or what I managed to play of it. It was what the first Hitman game should have been.
Yes.
And for the longest time, long before we ever recorded podcasts or anything, mm-hmm. I would use it as an example to people I knew of, like, no, this is how you do it. You release a new game, Hitman Codename 47. It has a shit ton of problems that really limits how good it'll ever do. And you listen to the feedback, you make the changes, you release another game in the series, and it's brilliant. This is how it's done. Paying attention to what really was wrong with your game and fixing it. Because Hitman 2 is great. I loved it. And I didn't really play much after that. I don't think I really wanted it anymore for a while, but it was great, dude. I just loved the shit out of it. And if the new business comes out and it turns out it's people think good thoughts about it, then I'll play it. I could stand to do that again.
Yeah.
I like a good stealth game, you know?
I enjoyed what they showed me at the because I got to sit in the theater and watch somebody else play it. Which is a lot of what you get at E3.
Was it the level with the Chinese New Year party?
No.
Okay, that's the footage I saw.
No. This was... I don't exactly know where this took place. It took place in like a small town. He was trailing these four or five guys, and he had to kill each one of them. And so... I am not as educated in the Hitman games. I've barely played any of them. I played a little bit on the console. Well, I played them all on the console, but Blood Money a little bit of, and anything previous just a tiny bit of, so much that I don't even really remember. But he's got that ability, which is very strange that they give this to him, because it works in Deus Ex, and in some whatever weird spiritual way, it works in Assassin's Creed, Eagle Vision type of situation. Where you can see through walls and things are highlighted for you. NPCs are highlighted, your targets are highlighted, and you can see where they're at any given time. It's called, I can't remember, I've got it written down in my notes, but he's got that ability. I don't know why. I didn't know if he always had that ability or not. Obviously, no. From the looks on your faces, obviously, no, he hasn't had that ability. But anyway, it's in there. Seems like that's in a lot of games now. It's in Dishonored as well. He gets the same thing.
We should make a point that there were games back then that were doing that. Sam Fisher could do that.
The original Deus Ex had that.
Yeah, but yeah. Look, man, J.C. Denton had cybernetic eyeballs.
Yes.
Sam Fisher had fun goggles, right? Like, 47...
has ballers.
Yeah. He's just got...
a syringe.
Yeah, you know, and a
garage
string
wire.
Of piano wire, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's wrong that they add that, but, man, it needs a little... I need it to fit the context. Otherwise, it's not authentic.
Ding! Anyway, what I enjoyed about it was the freedom that you can take out your you can take out your targets any way you want to.
Which is good. That was actually one of the things that always made it really good.
You can go in there, shoot every last person, and just like get a terror rating, or you can be the sneakiest bastard.
Which I actually really liked to do.
Sometimes it was.
I liked to shoot every guy, and then I shot every computer screen, and I blew up every flower pot, and I was like
the New Orleans level, just unloading in the crowd.
There were and. You know, I liked, and then sometimes I liked just going in and just, you know,
being the guy,
right in the neck, walking away.
Yeah, that was awesome. And so, out of the five targets, he took them all out in a different way that he could. The first one he did a completely stealth, I mean, like, nobody even knew he was in the room, and there were other people in that room, and he was able to get by all of them without any of them seeing him whatsoever, and it was really cool that he did that. And that got tallied to a score, where there's going to be leaderboards and stuff, and you can see who's doing it better than you are as far as that's concerned. So killing people this time, if that's not what's required, that'll lower your score a little bit. But if you don't give a shit, who cares? The other thing, and I don't know if they had this in the previous games, did they have disguises?
Yes.
Yes.
You could take somebody's clothes?
Yeah. Yes. That was a big part of it.
Yeah. Necessity for most of it.
Again, not privy to it. So for me, I was like, oh, that's a cool little feature. You can take their clothes. And if you're... Say you're on a construction site, and there's construction workers, and then there's police officers, and you steal one of the construction workers' outfit. Well, if you walk by police officers, they're like, okay, he's construction. If you walk by the construction workers, they're like, you don't look like that guy. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's in the same... If they
did that wasn't really... Not that sort of thing good. Really didn't exist back then.
But
I mean, come on, dude. Look, fine. I strangle the guy delivering the flowers to the mobster's house, and so I take his delivery outfit. I'm still a big bald fuck with a UPC tattooed on the back of my head. Nobody seems to give a shit.
Exactly. That's the one thing they can overlook. But yeah, if you hang around guys in the same outfit as you're in, they get suspicious about stuff. So obviously, it's a deterrent to just kind of stay in one place and wait for your target to come by.
It sounds okay.
But, yeah, I mean, everything that I was shown of it, I was like, this is good. Again, I'm fresh into that franchise, so some of this might have just been, oh, it's the same thing we've been doing. For me, I was like, good, give me that option to go any way I want to with this, and I'm happy. And I'll tell you why I'm happy is because Deus Ex did it, and we had a hell of a time talking about it. Yeah. Where, you know, I didn't talk to this guy, I just took this man out. Well, then you missed this conversation and all this other stuff. Yeah. I love...
That stuff is actually... really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll get a lot of that from Dishonored as well, I'm sure.
Yes, we will. Dishonored has a very go about it any way you want to type of situation. Daniel also wanted to yell at Matt for a second and said, Matt, you talked about Wasteland 2, but you didn't say what it is or why it's relevant. I'm disappointed. Fallout, the original Fallout, was conceived and sold as a spiritual sequel to Wasteland. A lot of the same people worked on the two projects. Wasteland is to Fallout what System Shock is to System Shock 2, sort of. I spent hours in Fallout, but never played Wasteland. I'm guessing Matt has, and I want details.
Long, long time ago, yeah. Wasteland, Apple IIc.
Was that long ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. No, it was.
Very briefly, Wasteland 2, but it wasn't made by the same people, and it was terrible. But, that's, I remember... Bard's Tale, like that time frame, the Exodus and Ultima Exodus, that is around that era. But yeah, I played Wasteland a long, long time ago, and then that's one of the main reasons why I got into Fallout, because I knew that the dudes that did Wasteland, Brian Fargo, they couldn't quite get the rights for it. There were some issues, and so they're like, well, we'll do Fallout instead, But I knew what it was. And love, Fallout's been one of my favorites for the longest time. But
I certainly hope that... I didn't play it. I don't have any connection to it whatsoever. I don't have the warm feelings that everyone does about it. I want it to succeed, but there's an awful lot of positivity behind the concept of the Wasteland Kickstarter and everything. And it feels like this... sort of community Care Bear stare. Like, focused at it. It's like, if we just believe enough and, like, maybe, I don't know, like, his notchiness will come down from the heavens and, you know, lay his blessing upon it. Or so, I don't know. It seems like there's so much desire for it to be good. And I'm like, but I don't know. Like, but what are they doing?
I've been following it, obviously, because I backed it. But they've gotten people from... Well, that's one of the two games I backed.
Oh, they got people. Well, that fixes everything, doesn't it, when you get people?
They got people from Wasteland and from Fallout, the original.
I know. So, don't put me in a place where I'm just going to be a complete cunt about this, because I don't even feel like I need to be.
Yeah.
I certainly want it to be a good thing. I'm just... Yes. I don't want to disagree with anybody. I just want to say, like, I don't see anything here. I see a promise. Right? And how is that different from the lie? Everything is a lie, at some level. And I'm not pissed about it. I'm not mad. I just... So you got some people. So what? A lot of people out there that fall on their faces after they did something really great, you know? I need to see something. I really do. We're at that point in time, and I need to see something. So.
Well, Leecon says that was back in the album cover days of gaming.
Yeah, it was.
Son of Seth wrote us an email about Diablo and says, I was thinking about this and never saw anybody discuss it, but given how much Blizzard likes to use lessons learned in one game to influence its other games, I started wondering how much of Diablo 3 is really about Diablo 3, and how much is it a more manageable, smaller size tech experiment for Titan? I'm thinking about you, Story. Don't get me wrong, Blizzard is still king of gameplay, and boy does it do gameplay well. Diablo 3 is meant to be played, not finished. Mileage may vary from case to case. It all feels like the issues were more about basic structure of the game. Server side, very compartmentalized systems. We see auction houses down, but we can still play. Most of the patching goes on their end, and we just have some downtime and we're good to go. No downloaded patches, no additional waiting time. Of course, when the big patch comes, there will be some downloading, but in almost all cases, it's already done when we log on. After experiencing the launch of Cataclysm at midnight, the large influx of players, no matter how many sales records it shatters, shouldn't be the real issue with Blizzard, but what could be an issue are all those new algorithms governing the interdependent yet compartmentalized systems in play. Titan should have to be huge in comparison to Diablo 3, so it seems much safer to test it on this smaller product. Of course, small and Blizzard in one sentence is a bit of an oxymoron, but I hope you get what I'm trying to say.
We actually did go over this, I think, two shows ago, briefly. Maybe it was a little more than that. I know we touched on it because... I know we did. But basically because that's exactly what Diablo 2 was to World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
You can see how much they learned about building a game the way they did by working in D2. By building Battle.net the way it was built. They learned an awful lot about class balance, loot systems, and some amount of online play from that. This is Diablo 3 is not just Diablo 3. Diablo 3 is exactly what he says. It's the test bed for systems that will be the basis for Titan.
And what is Titan?
The next thing.
Oh, okay. It's the project name, I guess.
Yeah. It's the next thing. It's the successor, but not the sequel to WoW, if that makes any sense. Probably something completely different, probably free to play.
Yeah.
It's the speculation anyway. Because they got that shit figured, clearly.
Mm. Son of Seth also has an apology for Matt. So Matt's getting beaten and apologized to all in the same section of emails here. Matt, I was a bit of a douche to you in one of my long time ago emails, but after hearing about your love for Grim Fandango, I see I totally misjudged you. I'm sorry about that. It's hard to find people who share my deep appreciation for that game. That and Carmageddon 1 are still my two favorite games of all time. It's still why I can't ever get mad at Tim, no matter how much I resented him for Brutal Legend.
Man.
Yeah,
obviously that makes up a lot for you that it doesn't make up for me.
I replied back to the Son of Seth about that.
Yeah,
Carmageddon was fun. That was a strange game back when, you know, people could make strange games like that. And people would get pissed off, but who cares? And yeah, Grim Fandango's always been one of my favorites.
Grim Fandango is probably one of the most interesting things that's ever happened.
Especially from LucasArts.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just clever. It was clever in the way that most other adventure games were. I mean, that you kind of had to be. That was what you had to do to get anybody to be interested in your game. But it was just wonderful. The setting was wonderful. And it was just a lot of...
The idea was, arc of...
It was cute and clever and wonderful and sort of sweet and murderous and hateful and evil and bad. But it was great.
Yes.
Doc Obvious writes to us with the subject line, "The Miracle of DRM and the New Age." Mainly asking us how it's all going to work when the new consoles show up and we've got to transfer saves and stuff like that. He says, "Who do you think will get it right? I have a 360 and have seen the option to save to the cloud, but don't really use it, and I don't have a PS3, so I can't speculate on that. But I can see how the online services can be used to bridge the gap. As for Nintendo, I can envision a scenario where you mail them your Wii and they will get you set up with a Wii U. That started as a joke, but I just remembered that the error code I got on the Wii at launch required the steps I just described. My copy of Dragon Age Origins came with some codes to unlock a couple of quests and a piece of gear. This came from EA servers and not live. When my old box died, I had to get the login stuff set up again to access my content, and when the wife would log into her account to play, she's silver, I'm gold, we would get all sorts of nice messages regarding errors accessing the content or that it was corrupt. Of course, I had just been playing, so I knew this wasn't the case. What I love most about Steam, aside from the prices, is knowing I can blow my computer up and log in on a new one at any time and just get my stuff. Well, yeah. My wife wouldn't get near Steam with a proverbial 10-foot pole, so there's another advantage as well. If you have discussed this recently, my apologies. I have parent brain, 2 kids, and can only retain information for about 3 days at a time. Who do you think will get it right?
Just from what we've seen of this generation, I think Microsoft stands the best chance of getting it right.
Yeah. Not even because they're more... It's not even that they're more in touch with what they need to do.
Right.
They
understand networks and cloud systems and all of that.
They're more familiar with it. Better.
Yeah.
Sony understands it quite a bit less. Nintendo seems to understand it not at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, Microsoft seems to understand that it is the key to their next system's success.
Yes.
They have no choice but to get it right. So I think it'll be them. And, like he says, meanwhile, Steam is just being Steam.
Yeah.
They already do that.
That's all the tweets and that's all the emails.
Cool.
So. Two hours.
Does anybody want Beta Key?
Well, I've taking a.
I just want to know if anybody wants one before you enact the idea.
We got 5 people.
Planet Side 2.
We got 5 people in the room who want one.
Okay.
And I've got their names written down here.
That means 2 people have to be upset.
Yes.
Well, I think you should just decide.
You gonna like write them on paper and put them in a hat?
No, I've got them in here. I was gonna have RJ just pick a number between 1 through 5.
3.
Oh, okay. 3.
Okay.
Well, you want me to? I'll pick 3 numbers.
No, no, no. Now pick a number between 1 through 4.
2.
And pick a number between 1 through 3.
3.
All right. Motal won a key.
I thought he didn't want a key.
When I asked everybody in the chat, I said, "Who wants a key?" Oh,
okay.
And he put his name in the hat. Daniel won a key, and Ship Pagan won a key. So, there you go.
Congratulations.
Ship Pagan?
Ship. Ship.
No, ship. I thought you said Ship Pagan.
Ship. Well, I'm fine.
I was like, that's
it. You're having like a sinus thing.
It is. It's very much a sinus thing, but Ship Pagan.
If his name was Ship Pagan, I'd give him a key.
Just for that.
Just based on his name. Yeah.
Your name is Epic, therefore you get a key. Yeah.
So, looking at the Hawken controller...
Yeah, you haven't stopped looking at the Hawken controller. I've been watching ever since you found it. You made a face and, like, you know, bit your knuckle like a... Something. They're saying, I know, dude. I know you're
roughly about $250, possibly.
Yeah? I know.
Hey, man, what's good?
When I see something like that, I'm like, oh, yeah, 250, no way in hell. I look at Matt's face, and Matt's like,
I can do.
I'll figure out a way to spend that.
Hell yeah.
I live at home.
Mech.
Yeah.
Mm. It's a controller for.
It's a controller for a mech game, but
what's the eject button?
It's my Steel Battalion.
Yeah, it's my Steel Battalion, but I know what that's
the eject button.
But we're curious as to what else you can control with that thing. Yeah. We got to figure it's got to be.
If it's a USB thing, then
yeah,
yeah,
you know. Put Burnout with it.
Some tank game.
Yeah, sure. World of Tanks.
Oh man, World of Tanks would probably be great for that. I don't know how World of Tanks plays, but
I have no idea.
Yeah,
I'm just making shit up.
Yeah.
A new virtual lawn or something. I don't know.
I mean, heck, yeah. I mean, if, like you said, USB can just map the, you know, the access, whatever. You can do flight sims with it.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about it. You know, the game is specifically designed for one genre, and this, so there's not a whole lot of options you got.
Yeah.
So, $250.
You can use a Planet Side. Mm. You can use your J6 and Planet Side. To the vehicles,
yeah.
Which you might need, because, man, flying was real. I could not fly for shit in that little time.
That doesn't tell me much, though, because you're bad.
Well, I prefaced that when we were talking about it. I don't know,
I know you did, but it's like, that's one of the things, because you were like, well, you know, I did this and blah, and I'm like, yeah, dude, I don't even want to hear about it.
Yeah. I more look forward to learning how to fly it than I do.
Is that a thing you want to do? See, look, you played the thing. You played, like, you played Planetside. The Planetside 2. Which I still don't think... Oh, God, I cannot wait. I cannot wait to play this with all my people who I've ever wanted to play games with, ever. Because I, in my head, there's a time and a place, and me and you and... Who the fuck else? You,
Paul
me...
Paul Temple.
Trey? It was Trey?
Yeah, Trey was in it.
A couple other people on our douchey little fucking douche wagon, because we're all idiots on shitty internet, and we can't do anything because we crap computers. But by God, we can stand in this fucking stairwell and keep this asshole from taking this tower.
Yep.
And to know, you know, that you don't have to convince yourself that you're a tiny little cog in a giant mechanism, because it's fucking self-evident.
Yeah,
and you don't need a fiction to tell you that you're doing your little part of the war. Like, it was really, really obvious. So what you played really was a battlefield map. Everybody go kill everybody in this place right here, and that was it. That's all they wanted you to do, and that was fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But you didn't see Planetside.
No, I know I didn't.
And there are things that happen in that world that you can't know. I mean, there's dudes, there's a level of seriousness in Planetside that, like, man, it makes my balls shrivel up, seriously, how, like, hardcore some of these people are. Which isn't the thing, that's not a thing I want to do. But the degree to which you can get together with other people in that universe and be rewarded for playing together like not assholes is unlike anything we've kind of had before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really fun. And so it matters a little bit what you want to do. Who do you want to be in that world? It's not as simple as, you know, I'm sick of sniping, I'm just going to grab the assault kit and go, and just be just as effective. It's not like that at all. It's your certifications, your time spent, to some degree possibly your money spent, are all going to be about making you better at the things you want to do. And people are very serious about specializing, you know, how they want to specialize. So, like, if you want to fly a thing, you need to kind of commit to flying a thing, you know? That's something, you don't just... If you say, I want to be pilot, and then you get in there and you're like, nope, I'm shit, after weeks of investing time in doing that, then you've wasted a little bit of your time.
Yeah.
You're not as good as you could be in other places. And I know you haven't played a lot of FPSs on a PC. So, and there's a lot of people who haven't, so you don't have that skill thing to fall back on, you know.
Yeah, I damn sure haven't played on a lot of FPSs on a PC with
lots of other people.
Well, no, I was going to say mouse and keyboard.
Oh.
Because now it's all been, you know, just plug in your controller. Like Saints Row, I just played on my... Yeah, that's not first person, that's third person.
Yeah, that's a thing. I was able to play a first person game with my mouse, without my mouse.
Keyboard. Right.
Because that's the idea of the game, is that they've made it very shooter-centric,
mm-hmm.
so that even if you're new to the game, you don't have a lot of certifications and unlocks, if you have skill, if you have ability, you can make a difference. I don't know. So I'm very interested to know what everybody wants to do. Do you want to be a Max driver? Do you want to be a pilot of some sort? And even if you want to be a pilot, what do you want to fly? You want to fly like the fighter bomber? Do you want to fly a Galaxy? Do you want to do the small fighter? Do you want to be armor? You know, do you want to drive a tank? Do you want to be an engineer? Do you want to be a medic? Do you want to be an infiltrator?
Yeah.
I was about to say sniper, but...
Yeah.
You know, they're clearly designing them to be more infiltrator than sniper.
Leecon says, in PlanetSide 1, I was a damn good max pilot, but a max alone, toast. And yeah. Daniel says, I was pretty good at being a corpse in PlanetSide 1. So yeah, I don't know. It's just...
I mean, we'll get in beta, and that's what beta's going to be about.
I don't think... I think you're right. I think I want to know how to operate the shit so that I can grab one as needed if for whatever reason and get out of Dodge or get to whatever I need to do and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you want to... I mean, it would be nice to cert into some kind of vehicle thing just to get yourself some transport if you need it. But like a lot of the really serious outfits put their command guys in charge of the galaxies. Those guys aren't just, you know... douchebags driving the bus. Like, they're the command level guys because they're not supposed to be down in the fight. They're guys who they pull up their galaxy, they load everybody up. The galaxies are, you know, there's a lot of guys in one. They're fat targets. They're juicy targets, but they're extremely important because it's how you get a lot of guys from one point to another.
Mm-hmm.
So, in certain ways, by certain metrics, you want your best guys in those ships, you know? There are people who, there were people who would just, for other people's benefit, they were just galaxy pilots, and they would just be like, hey, anybody need to go somewhere? Like, I'm driving.
I remember that.
Get in the bus.
Yeah.
You know? It's, yeah, okay. Where do you need to go? Yeah, wherever. Fight.
Yeah.
Pick a place. You know? And it was all about, and they're not defenseless, but, you know, they have to be careful, they have to be smart. It's not like Battlefield where you just grab one of the jets, fly it to the other side of the map, and crash it into the objective. It's not... You don't do that.
I think that would be interesting to be like a galaxy pilot, just, you know, ferry people back and forth.
And you have to... Basically, if you want to be at your best in PlanetSide, it's about approaching... doing what the role needs you to do. You don't want to be an infiltrator just so you can sit a kilometer away and get the occasional headshot. That's not what it's about. It's about, it's a little bit about spotting, but it is about, that's why they call it the infiltrator. It's about cloaking and getting inside, getting behind enemy lines, doing some support, doing some sapper bullshit, you know, causing a little bit of ruckus and maybe making a distraction for someone else or getting in and doing a cap somewhere. Like it's, you have to approach your role correctly. Do it correctly. And I think that's something that Battlefield has taught, that's a bad thing that Battlefield has done.
Most people lone wolf it. They don't.
Well, not only do they lone wolf it. I mean, and I liked Bad Company too. I never got into 3, but you know, we would play it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll just play the support. Everybody wants to play the support role because it has a great gun, and you can either
heal.
You can basically heal yourself, and so that's what everybody did. It became the best assault kit in the game when you're really supposed to be support. You know, there weren't. That real sense of interactivity between the classes didn't really exist. But when you have dudes whose sole purpose in life is to fly a bus around the map and be sneaky and smart about it and put people where they need to be,
Reminds me of like in Private Ryan, the guy in the Higgins boat, just, you know.
Yeah, doing his thing. Taking care of business, yeah, and doing his thing. And it's not that you're never going to die. You're going to die a lot. But knowing how to best support everyone else. And being in a top-notch outfit isn't required. Just knowing your role. And it's rewarding. It isn't just that you should be doing this. It's that you will have the most fun doing this. If you just sort of surrender to what the game wants you to do. Not that we played so early. Mm-hmm. We played in beta and then just during the first year.
Yeah.
And the real heyday of that game wasn't until years after we quit.
Yeah.
It was a mess when we left. And we never went back.
Napkey's wanting to know if you've played Ghost Recon Online.
I still haven't yet. I meant to get up with him and do that.
Did you ever play Firefall?
I didn't play that either.
Okay.
I had kind of an embarrassment of beta riches there for
a
few weeks ago. It was sort of hard to get into everything.
And the best part is we've got this beta for Planetside, but we don't have a beta. We got the key and we're good to go. We just don't have a beta plan yet.
Oh, man, it's making me itchy. But on top of that, there's a... I'm crossing my fingers. I don't know. I still haven't heard anything about it. I would really like to get in the dust beta.
Yeah.
And that's the end of this month. Starts the end of this month. Beginning of the next month. But Planetside beta is going to be a really big deal.
Do you hear about their possibility for monetizing dust?
No.
A 29-cent pack. I think it's 29. That seems very random. But it's in the change. It's in the change department. It's not a buck. It's like it's under a dollar.
Pennies.
Yeah, you buy that and you get a bunch of great equipment, but it only lasts until you die.
Yeah. So you buy another one.
Yeah. So you like give them a 10, and you get like, you know, here's a 15 amount stock or whatever, how many it comes out to.
And so one per death.
And so one per death.
Huh. That's interesting. Yeah. Doesn't sound great, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, there were the you know, some of the aspects was that, well, maybe this will make it it'll make it less of people just running
less
in there. Yeah, of a thing.
You have to be careful though. Careful not to incentivize really kind of cowardly gameplay. Sometimes you need a Zerg.
Yeah. Although there's got to be some satisfaction to killing someone and being like, haha, just
your pennies.
Yeah, I mean it's just a little bit, but it's like, boom, I just took your money away from me or whatever the case may be. Yeah, they said the Kyrie saying they said 25 cents was on the extreme high end.
Okay.
So
literally, they're looking to nickel and dime us.
Yeah. Seriously.
Okay. There are worse things, right?
Because it's free to play as well, right?
It's non-subscription. I don't...
All right, so you may have to buy a game.
Yeah, that's what I don't know yet. I don't want to say either way. I don't know that it's, like, proper free to play.
Daniel says, no, James, they want to draw and quarter you. So, yeah, anything else? To cover?
You know...
Before we go.
What do we... All right, so we're through E3.
Yeah.
We're not terribly far away from starting to play things again.
Yeah.
We're really not. I mean, setting aside the Planetside 2 beta, which could basically happen whenever.
Right.
But it's a bit of a wild card. Any of the betas are really a wild card. What's the next thing? Like, the next proper actual thing? I would like to say it's Torchlight, not that everybody cares about that, but we still don't have a date for that, which is kind of embarrassing and sad. I would really like to know where to slot that in with everything.
The only definite thing, the next definite thing...
And this may not be for everybody.
Yeah, Counter-Strike Go.
It's CSGO, which...
August 21st.
Curious to hear the noise Nab makes about that. I'm really interested in that. It's... Whatever, fast PC shooty twitchy bang things, man. I'm just kind of in a place where I want to do a little bit of that right now. So, what's $25?
Yeah,
something like that. $25, you know.
Nab is screaming about it in the chat room. They're like, no, it's horrible.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I see, this is the problem. You can't ever trust somebody else's opinion on Counter-Strike stuff. Mm-hmm. Because people are so polarized about Counter-Strike things, different flavors. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. But, I mean, we got some stuff. There's stuff this year.
A week after that is Fall of Cybertron.
Yeah, that's sad.
Well, sometime in August, too, is Darksiders 2.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I remember, because that's one of the earliest... Well, no, that's not... It was one of the earliest games I was looking at E3. The actual earliest game I was looking at was Spider-Man, which is 2 weeks away.
That actually doesn't look bad.
It didn't look bad when I was playing it. Well, when I was watching somebody play it. They've completely removed... There is no HUD, so it's completely...
Yeah, and the they've gone back to the... don't worry about what he's shooting his web against. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
His web's hitting something and you're swinging. Don't worry about what
exactly.
It is.
You get momentum with that. They've, you know, I did a whole write-up on this thing, but the fun mechanics of it were that it's an open world, and it's a huge open world, much bigger than Spider-Man 2, because that wasn't even 360.
No, it wasn't.
The Spider-Man 2, the game that everybody hopes every other Spider-Man game lives up to, was on the original Xbox. So this, they've gone open world with it. They don't care about where the webs are hitting, that I could tell.
No. They specifically tried older versions of being more accurate, more realistic.
Yeah.
And then what did they do? They just went with authentic.
Yeah, they went with authentic again. So you're shooting webs, but you're getting the momentum swing.
Yeah. It looked pretty.
The web rush.
It looked pretty goddamn good.
The web rush feature is something that, by the way, the web rush feature sends you into Spider-Man's mask and it has the shape of his eyes. If you play Stan Lee, it has his glasses.
okay.
Yes. But anyway, the web rush thing is it like stops everything of what you're doing and gives you selections of where Spider-Man can go. And you can sort through that. You can shoot straight dead center of the screen if you want to. It doesn't matter, but it's also got these predetermined things. You pick one, and an animation takes over to get you there the way he does that. That's one way you can use the web rush. The other way is you can use it while you're swinging. And, I mean, however it activates, and I do not know how it works on the controls, but it needs to be intuitive enough because it looks very zony. Like you get in a glaze over your eye because you're predicting your next move each and every time. They wanted you to be able to navigate this gigantic world as fast as you possibly could and as easy as you possibly could. And so you can do it that way where you're not in the first person view anymore. Yeah. You're Spider-Man swinging and all these little things are popping up and you just hit and he goes. And when he's going to this next one, you're picking out the next spot you want him to go to and just zipping across the city. Looks really fun.
I didn't even see that mode. I just saw some basic, straightforward web swinging through the city. And I was like, yep, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to rent that, and I'm going to do that. And I don't give a shit if the rest of the game sucks. I will do exactly what I did for that Superman game.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'll
just, I will just fly around until he goes faster than sound. And just, like, you know, he breaks the sound barrier and all the cool shit happens. That's all I'll do. I'll fly around the city.
Yep, that was it.
At the very least, I will do that because the web swinging looks solid.
Which means we'll have to rent it through Gamefly so we can't pick it up over there anymore.
That's that's sad.
So, yeah, Spider-Man would be the closest one.
That's a couple weeks, then.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I'll do that.
Darksiders 2.
I gotta play Darksiders 1. And that's on my list. Like, that's my little list. I have this little bowl, kind of like a change bowl of games.
Yeah.
That I own, and they're all things that are supposedly great or good or whatever, but that I've never for some reason had any interest in playing. I was going to make the chat room tell me to play one of them before.
Well, look at
because I've got Darksiders in that.
Yeah, look at your story with Hitman. I think you picked up Darksiders either on the cheap or free from picking up something else.
These are all things that I got for actually very little.
Yeah.
Or for free.
Because I knew they were giving that out when you pre-ordered like Red Faction Guerrilla or even
No, they were giving else. It they were giving it out for free when you did
Homefront? Space Marine. Yeah, that's right.
Which I didn't pre-order, but I got for $5 as well.
Yeah.
But I've got like this little thing of games that, you know, like Bastion's in there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Bastion for like $2.
Did you pick up Red Orchestra?
I got a free copy of Red Orchestra.
Okay.
I picked it up though when it was on sale for the $10 that it was on. I picked it up for $10.
But yeah, that's got to be before Darksiders 2 comes in. I got to do Darksiders 1.
You should. I mean, the stories will reference each other, but the stories take place concurrently. So while you're playing as Death, the story that happens to War is going on at the same time. So you'll get little updates about how that's been going as you're playing Death. The thing is though, is that I thought. And maybe they released videos of this, and I just wasn't... I really didn't pay attention to it. I was like, Darksiders 2, I loved your first game, I'll play this one again, I don't need to pay any more attention to it. I'll be there. So maybe that dinged me a point on this when I went and I played it, and I played, and I was like, alright, cool. And I left, and I was like, hey guys, you made a great game. You didn't need to do anything, you just, you know, you gave us a new character, new story, and, you know, new setting, and that's all you really needed to do. He's like, no, man, we did a lot more than that. He's like, you don't see it in this demo, but there's level progression, and there kind of was in the first one, but there's numbered level progression now. There's loot drops. Oh. Everything you kill drops loot. And so you can, if they drop armor that's still within your level, you can, and it gives you a little stat as soon as you hover over it of how better it will be if you can equip it right then, or you can just pick it up and hold on to it, because later on you'll go to hub towns where you can sell it or trade it.
So RPG stuff.
Yeah, they threw in a shit ton of RPG stuff for this game. There's skill trees now that you can go through with this thing.
Jesus. So it's an RPG.
Yeah. They completely, like, just...
And I don't know if it's... I shouldn't about it. I haven't played the first game.
I don't know if that's going to be good or bad, because are you making a game that didn't need the depth that you're putting into it? Yeah. And therefore causing, you know, players to be completely distracted by that. Whereas if you just stuck with what you did, I mean, it still follows that whole, you know, that whole Metroid Zelda route where it's like, as you go through, you get upgraded to where you can go back and get to different places and, you know, get all your stuff. But yeah, it was much more deeper than what I expected it to be. So who knows? But yeah, and then that's in August. Dishonored is when?
October. October's a busy month.
October's a bitch.
Fucking October.
Dishonored's in October. Assassin's Creed 3 is in October. Need for Speed. Most Wanted is in October.
Burnout Paradise 2.
It's like, what's that game? Burnout Paradise 2. Yeah, those are. There's like a shit ton that's in October this year. Halo 4 is in October.
As much as everything is run back to the first quarter of next year, I don't care. There's some shit here.
Yeah, there is.
Worth playing, yeah. I think.
Yeah, Tomb Raider is next year, and there's another one that releases in
Torture
March.
Porn?
Yeah, Torture Porn is next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys, what are your thoughts on that?
Torture Porn. I didn't see any fucking gameplay. There's a little tiny bit of gameplay.
I'm telling you, everything I've seen...
Okay, we'll let you play between this beating and the next beating.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be knee-jerk about it. I don't know. I feel like they need to show a little bit more.
Yeah. Some of the stuff I've been reading online is people like, well, there shouldn't be in video games, and blah, you know, that's
just... Oh, fuck that.
This is, again, a situation where you're running into people who want to get on their soapbox to make a statement about one game in an industry full of tons.
Yeah. And we don't know yet. We don't know enough.
That are like that.
I think a lot, in very much the same way that maybe Far Cry wasn't necessarily like the best way to show what you're doing. Right? Like, with the titties and the psychotropic drugs, like, but okay, where's the game, you know? I get the feeling that that's all your business is about, and that can't be true. With the Tomb Raider stuff, it just came off a little strong. If they were being funny about it, it would be completely different, you know? Like, if they just got rid of Lara Croft and it was like some kind of... I don't know, dude. It's Three Stooges game or something. You know? If they were funny about the violence, because it's almost comical. Because they talked about wanting to be a little more genuine, a little more realistic, for lack of a better word, believable in terms of her character design and in terms of her motivations and everything. But then they do this. It's like, yeah, come on, dude. This is like... It's not a Die Hard movie or something, you know? You're not supposed to go several 100% beyond what I honestly think a human can put up with. It just looked silly, was all. It looked really silly. And at this point, doesn't look like something I want to play. They still haven't done better than one.
The bow and arrow combat looked really awkward when I was watching the
theater. In which game? Which of the seven games that have bow and arrow combat?
No, the Tomb Raider stuff looked really awkward the way that was being played in the theater demo that I saw. Not the one they showed at Microsoft or whatever they were showing there. And again, it goes back to James's statement of, like, I think much of what we see is a lie. Maybe not in the terms of how it looked in this presence, but in the terms of who was playing it. We talked about this with BioShock Infinite, where they run through a demo and it looks fun to play, but that is not how you're going to play it. It's not how it's going to happen.
That guy never went around scrounging through every trash can, looking in every corner. He was always looking right at the person who was talking, right when he should be. He was the director of photography. He was not a gamer.
Yeah.
And so, whatever.
So you're gonna doesn't
I'm not, like I said, I'm not all fucked up about it, but you just gotta keep that shit in mind, man. You gotta really know what you're looking at. So when all they show you is torture porn, it's like, I gotta be careful not to think that that's all the game's gonna be, you know. That'd be fair to my own expectations, I suppose. So. But at the moment, I'm just like, no. You could maybe do that to her once during the whole game. But it looks like they're just going to keep at it.
Yeah, already, I mean,
silly.
Already at that point in the game, she survived a plane crash, fell and had a piece of rebar shoved right through her abdomen. Which she was able to remove. You saw that in the demo from last year. Nearly drowned going through a cave. She's fallen many, many, many times as she's walking around and every, you know, and that sort of thing. And then stabbed, beat, and attacked by wolves. And then the near-rape scenario that was thrown in.
I've heard a lot of people talk about that near-rape and just saying that it didn't belong in video games and video games shouldn't have that and it's terrible. And I'm like, I don't understand that idea because...
Well,
how is it any different than any other storytelling? That can be a part of the story, you know, and that can be a progression for a character, that can be a progression of the plot. So just say, just because it's a video game, it shouldn't be in there?
Here's the problem. How you do it? How the fuck do you do that?
You wouldn't do it interactively. It'd be in a cutscene.
Well... Rape isn't really interactive, so yeah. I wouldn't expect that you would.
Press A to rape Laura.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Thought that kind of shit was supposed to come out of my mouth. Well, no, the thing is, you are Laura.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, look, I'm not trying to be grotesque, but how do you imagine a rape scene is going to work in a game? You have to take agency away from the player. So, it's going to be like one of those gruesome death scenes. You know, like imagine Dead Space or something, right? Where, you're dead, and now you get this really horrifying animation of what happens to your character, you know? That's all I can imagine, is that it has to be, everything has to be taken away from you in terms of control and what you really want to be doing. Because,
I can't imagine it as a QuickTime event.
No, but I mean, this is why you don't do it. This is why I actually agree it doesn't belong here. It doesn't belong here. It's, at least to our sensibilities, worse than murder. Because there's something about killing that, for some reason, for whatever reason, I don't understand it. I don't know why we're all like this. It's very easy to take death and put it off somewhere where it's just simply... It's not real death. It's just a fail state, you know? It's a form of punishment in a video game. It's how you know that you beat that guy or he beat you or that you lost the game or you failed the level or something. You did something wrong. But, like, you know, it's not even about the violence. The violence is... It's a part of the conflict, you know? It's how we... There's something about that we don't really feel it. It's how, and then we know we're okay because that stuff in real life is still sort of gross to us. You know, video gaming doesn't desensitize me to violence at all. I can still go on, like, one of the Gore subreddits or something and feel really bad. Like, feel really bad really quick.
You'll be noping out soon.
And the games have not done anything to make me feel better about it, because it's almost comical. Even the pretty bad stuff is kind of comical sometimes. But, like, there's no way to do that. You don't ever, under any circumstances, make rape comical. You can't do it. And it's not sexual either.
Yeah.
There's nothing sexual about it. So, as much as we believe sexuality has a place in video gaming, it still doesn't give you an inroad for rape. Rape, it's not... There's no way to have a good conversation about it in a game, I don't think. I shouldn't say no way.
Right. That scene also sets up, and Shit Pagan is telling us in the...
I'm sorry about that, by the way. I put that in his head.
Yeah. So. He is telling us that in the chat room, and it was set up this way, is that this is just a cut scene. This is how it plays out. You have no control over this. This is taking place when Mara's only 22. It's like her first thing that we've ever seen her, or that we know her to be, sort of kind of a reboot type situation, but whatever. This sets up her first kill of another person.
Yeah.
She kills him and has like a really horrified effect on her or whatever. It sort of, you know, that's so far she just killed animals and she's killed for survival. She's never killed another human being before. And this forces her to do that. And that's kind of what that scene sets up. Because it's just a cutscene and you don't have to pull the trigger yourself. But it then gives you license to kill everybody else that you're going through. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I think maybe somebody's trying to do something decent there. I don't know. I don't think it's necessary. I think you can give license to a player to start killing in a game, even if the character has never done it before.
Right.
If Lara needs a serious trigger to get over it, there's a lot of ways to do it. You don't need rape for fight or flight.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't. You can easily logic your way to that. This bloke's gonna do me in. Well, fuck him. You know, like
kind of like Last of Us.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, exactly. And I'm sure that they're gonna demonstrate an evolution, but I don't think it's okay. And I think also, I don't know. It's all sort of the result of maybe taking ourselves too seriously sometimes. Like. Sometimes I think the more we talk about this stuff, the worse we get at handling it. If we can all just say, this is fucking, I know where this violence goes. I know where all of the video game grotesquery goes. And I know they affect me. I've known this for ages, right? I mean, where the fuck else would I play it? Jesus Christ. I'm not saying they don't, but man, I don't need a rape scene in a game to make me feel bad about rape. I feel pretty shitty about it. I don't want to play a character that's had to do that. I don't want to do that. And I don't need that to teach me that it's bad. And I think there are plenty of other ways. How do you not say, oh, this is a female character, let's rape her? We got to find a way for the female character we have to justify her hostility or her ability to kill other people. So let's rape her. Am I the only one who gets kind of sick at that? That's the way that we're going to handle it? I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't want to deal with it. And I don't want to see somebody's clumsy attempt to manage that shit in a game. Because that's badness that we don't need to be addressing. There's real people with real abilities to tell that story. I'm okay if that's the ceiling of maturity that we don't ever try to grow beyond. Because I'm beyond wanting my shit to grow up and be super real and legitimate like everything else in the world. No, I want my shit to be fun. I want to have fun by doing it. I don't want to play something and feel shit after playing it. I don't need all the lessons taught to me. So, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. I don't want it there because I don't think we're up to the task. Violence is another question entirely, and I fully believe that you can do all sorts of killing and be okay about it. And I don't know why that is. Probably because I don't think there's much difference between violence and play. Because everything's a gun. Yeah. But, you know, everything's not a sexual assault. So, whatever. Keep that fucking shit in the after-school specials and the criminal justice system and whatever. I don't want to do that. And I don't ever want to be talking about a rape scene in a game within earshot of someone that's had to deal with it in real life.
No kidding.
Never.
Well, I think that's a good note to stop
off. Yeah, sure.
I don't know what's going to be released in between now and the next time we do a show, but I'm sure there'll be plenty of news to discuss. And then everybody's emails. We just uploaded our E3 show, so...
Yeah, and it's just you and me doing some stuff.
So we'll get probably some emails concerning that by the time the next do. Because nobody sent us any emails about E3, if you noticed. Nobody sent us any emails. Very few tweets, honestly, on E3 as a whole. So, you know, we'll have to go through our what did we like about it and what did we not like about it, that sort of thing. But anyway, lots more to come. So that's it. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next episode.
Yep.
I'll sound better, I hope.